Duh.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. This is your award-winning Gimlo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1709.
This is No Agenda.
Queuing up for the election and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country right here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we would like to see Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. It's daylight savings time. No, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Craig Vaughn and Buzzkill in the
morning. Well, aren't we animated this morning? You can't say those things on television.
They said it. They were the one. Everyone was saying it but Trump. I think it was a wishful thinking.
It was unbelievable. I don't even. Do you have a clip of that? I don't even have a clip of it.
No, I don't. I mean, it may be some subclips. It may be within a clip, but
it's
just to round it up for everybody. Trump said that Cheney was a war hawk, and she would feel differently if she was at war holding one rifle with a bunch of rifles pointed at her.
Nine
rifles pointed at her head. And so the media says, Trump wants Cheney in front of a firing squad. Oh, I don't know how you got from A to B, okay, but that's what they did.
I have to play this this ad. It's. I mean, what is happening? As if the mainstream M5M hasn't decredited themselves enough already. But I mean, it's so blatant. Anybody who is not completely under MK Ultra mind control can see that they're taking this
or on the P. Diddy party list.
And so this video, and the audio is good enough. The video is quite good. It's an AI job where they made Trump look old and Vance look old. And you just have to envision the entire thing is dark, dystopian. It starts off with a group of what I think are not just Democrats, but really this is aimed at Republicans, young people voting Republican. Let me put it that way. And, you know, there's fires and they're sitting in a little circle, you know, sharing a little morsel of bread amongst each other because the whole world has burned down around them and it's their own fault.
We weren't always like this. We had a beautiful life. The best parties. The most beautiful friends. We thought it was just another election. So a lot of us didn't vote. Why bother? Everyone knew the system was rigged. Many of us even voted for them. I know it sounds crazy now, but we didn't like Democrats back then. We were angry about the vaccine mandates and how they handled the war in Gaza and the way they wanted to censor free speech on the internet.
They want unquestioned obedience.
So what did we end up doing? We voted for the guys who openly said they wanted to imprison dissenters and use the military against their political opponents. So yeah, you were wrong on that. Big time. When Trump got sick and died, Vance was 39 years old when he became president. 30 years later, he's still president today. And with the Supreme Court on his side, they gave him dictatorial powers. They took away women's reproductive rights, outlawed contraception, and removed the minimum wage. Then we had repression of dissent. AI surveillance of everything we did or said on a level we couldn't imagine. The government, under Vance, Peter Thiel, and Elon Musk, set up concentration camps for illegal immigrants, then legal immigrants, then even homeless people. They finally admitted climate change was real, but it was too late. Florida sank into the Gulf, and the West burned. And cities across the country became uninsurable, then uninhabitable. Musk and Thiel poured all of our resources into artificial intelligence so they and their friends could become immortal. I don't know what happened to them, but I know what happened to us.
You might die.
Oh, no.
So I guess J.J. Abrams is still doing work for the Democrats.
Complete. Even the voice was AI. Everything was AI. It was there were credits at the end. The tag was for vote.org. So, you know, if anything, it was kind of fun. The true unaffiliated PAC advertisement, which is from progressinamerica.org, I believe, is another one of those. I'm your Republican congressman. Here it comes.
Yeah. Dr. Davis, what do I do?
John, she needs an abortion or she's going to die from the pregnancy.
Sorry, that's not happening.
What are you doing? Who are you?
I'm your Republican congressman. Now that we're in charge, we banned abortion. And no exceptions.
You can't do this. She's dying.
I won the last election. So it's my decision. But don't worry, you can still have children, just not with her.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Sick, sick, sick people.
They're really swinging for the fences.
Oh, it's fantastic. Now, luckily, everybody got distracted.
We have an update on a story that we told you about earlier. Squirrel that was seized in Western New York earlier this week.
Yeah,
on Eyewitness
squirrel.
News this morning, we told you about Peanut, who has a big global following on social media. Well, we just learned it was euthanized after biting someone. It's now being tested for rabies. His owner, Mark Longo, says officers raided his home, taking Peanut and other animals. Longo runs a sanctuary in Western New York, housing horses, goats, and other animals. But it's against New York State law to own a wild animal without a license. And after receiving several complaints and fearing the unsafe housing of wildlife that could carry rabies, agents stepped in, took the squirrel, and have euthanized it.
They're killing the squirrels!
What about the raccoon? They also took his raccoon.
They're eating the dogs.
I mean, we all need to lighten up, people. Just lighten up. Oh, it's crazy.
Poor Peanut.
Yes, Peanut. I got a lot of peanut.
How did it bite someone? Where was it roaming around?
Nah, I don't know.
Hitchhiking? What was this squirrel doing?
You have now twisted my arm. It wasn't enough just to play that. I will play the ABC Good Morning America report.
A social media star has been seized by authorities.
He was a social media.
Seized and killed.
Upstate New York, and his fans are going nuts.
To take.
Oh, nice, nice little pun there, ABC. And his fans are going nuts. Get it?
Seized by authorities in upstate New York, and his fans are going nuts.
To take Peanut away from my family is not only,
it's our income. It's our income.
Heart-wrenching. But then you take it away from the organization that solely gets its funding from social media that requires Peanut to get that funding.
Mark Longo says officers raided his home, taking his pet squirrel, Peanut, and his raccoon, Fred. Longo runs a sanctuary, housing horses, goats, and alpacas, and says he relies on these social media videos to raise money. But it's against New York law to own a wild animal without a license. The Department of Environmental Conservation says it received multiple reports about the potentially unsafe housing of wildlife that could carry rabies.
My next step is to be contacted. You know, DEC, the state, nobody has reached out to me to say anything. I don't know if Peanut is alive or they euthanized him.
Longo says he rescued Peanut 7 years ago after its mother got hit by a car, and says Peanut came back after being released. He questions whether all this was even necessary.
I know the laws are the laws and the rules are the rules, but the fact of the matter is they brought 8 officers here who ransacked my house for a squirrel and a raccoon.
Yeah. It's sad. This is also wrong.
Stuff. 8 officers to ransack the house to take a squirrel and a raccoon.
What are we
doing? You can't write this stuff.
No. What are you doing? What are you doing, government?
This is Kathy Hochul.
Okay. You bring up Hochul. Let's go straight.
Well, I got a Hochul clip, too.
I got a 23-second teaser.
It gave me a chance to tie the Republicans running in these seats, the incumbents, closer to Donald Trump, and remind everybody, if you're voting for these Republicans in New York, You're voting for someone who supports Donald Trump, and you're anti-woman, you're anti-abortion, and basically you're anti-American because you have just trashed American values and what our country is all about.
But you're anti-squirrel.
American values are about abortion. That's what this country's all about.
No, that's what they're all about. People like Kathy Hochul. We really.
Well, that was my clip.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was your clip.
No, it's okay. You got the clip. You beat me to it. You're holding the controls. You're steamrolling me.
All the time. Here we go. Here we go with the steamrolling accusations. Okay.
I want to hear more squirrel clips.
I have to disappoint you. I don't have more squirrel clips, but I do have a couple of series.
It's funny that I never picked up a squirrel clip because I knew for some reason, some subconscious reason, I said, you know, Adam's going to get these squirrel clips.
Of course. And can we just complain briefly for a moment about the elites of the world stealing our light? You know, or saying they have control over our light when we can have our light, when we have to give up our light. Oh, here's some light back to you. I'm so sick of this daylight saving. The daylight saving time.
Oh, the daylight savings thing, yeah.
Yeah, they're stealing it. They're stealing our light. Or, you know, or giving out or a little
giving
morsel.
Us light. Giving a little morsel. More light. I don't know.
A little morsel.
I slept an extra hour, and so it didn't do me any good one way or the other.
Usually on these days, you're a little grumpy because either you didn't sleep enough or you slept too much. You're kind of like a newborn that way. So before we get into some of the crazier stuff here, I received a number of complaints.
Okay.
Why do you think that it's not going to happen? The grid's going to go down. Don't you know this is real?
You're kidding. That's the kind of...
Even worse. You're obfuscating everything. You have changed the Great Reset to the Season of Reveal. Oh, yeah, we know what you're up to, Curry.
Season of Reveal. Well, I'm against that, too, so put me in with those guys.
Well, that's just too bad.
What season are we talking about?
Well, a season can last for a day. It can last for a year. It's an ongoing process.
For an epoch.
Yes, it's an ongoing process. All is being revealed. Nothing that is hidden will stay hidden. It's just not going to be that way.
That'll be the day.
I got some great clips from you already. This is fantastic. So here it is. Where does it all come from? Because if you hear Bongino, if you hear... all of these guys just go.
See, I have, you know, I don't. Not, it's not that I only listen to Bongino in the car if I'm going to the store. So I haven't heard him for a while, and I find it hard to believe that Bongino.
Oh yeah,
is in on this.
Another ex, kind of intel guy, is ex social security. Hello, I'm Dan Bongino, social security agent. no, he was what is it? The
Secret Service.
Secret Service. Thank you. So. I am led to believe that this is all coming from Q, who, as you know, has always been right.
Q.
Q's been right all
along. Isn't that the guy that was on Star Trek?
You know exactly who Q is. Well, Q is like Satoshi Nakamoto. We're not quite sure who Q is. So Q is saying, prepare for zero-day massive cyber power attacks and attempts on 11-4.
On
November 4th. It's all going down tomorrow. It's all going down tomorrow. That's when everything goes
out. Tomorrow? Monday?
Yes. This is when the grid's going to go down.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry to have to be the one to...
The funny thing is, I would actually be inclined to believe something like this if they had actually done what they keep wanting to do, which is make the grid one giant operation so you can flip one switch, the whole country would go down.
Right.
But no, these are all independent little grids. They don't go down as a whole. It's not possible. You can get a cascading effect like you had back in New York back in the day.
Well, even then.
Where, you know, one station goes down and a whole bunch of them go down, so you have a blackout. No. Even then,
as long as you don't have an event like a flood, I mean, the cell towers will stay up. They're all powered by... they all have solar. They have some generator backup power.
Yeah, they have to fall over.
Yeah, Skynet, Elon's thing, Starlink, that'll stay up.
Skynet, yes. Skynet. Elon's Skynet's going to be there.
Excuse me, Elon. Get it right. Elon.
I'm going to have trouble with that, but I'm going to try to get to Elon.
Elon. Well, you know what? It's actually catching on. Elon, you know, he was being sued or had to go to court, I guess, because of his $1 million giveaway. And so I think it was it the governor who wanted him to go to court? But just listen, this is a short report. He did not show up to court, and spoiler, there's been no decision.
In true Halloween spirit, Elon Musk has been treating the world to a few tricks. And his latest, hide and seek. The billionaire decided to skip his scheduled court hearing in Pennsylvania, a state widely acknowledged to hold the keys to the Oval Office.
This morning, D.A. Krasner was here to testify. Elon Musk didn't show.
He kind of says Elon. Kind of says Elon Musk.
Not quite.
Musk's electoral lottery scheme was under scrutiny for potentially violating state gaming laws. The case was not based on national electoral regulation, but rather Pennsylvania's legislation against illegal lotteries and deceiving consumers.
On Mischief Night.
Mischief Night.
Elon Musk.
Elon. Yeah, there he said Elon. He said Elon.
And deceiving consumers.
On Mischief Night. Elon Musk and his pack, Ameripac, filed legal papers to have the case removed from this court to federal court, and we will proceed to federal court.
We'll get him.
Judge Angelo Foglietta ruled that the case should be put on hold whilst a federal court considers taking up the lawsuit. For the time being, the show can go on.
Oh, but that wasn't the only thing happening. Oh, there's so much going on. John Fetterman, after J.D. Vance, who was on Rogan, which was quite an interesting. Did you see any of that?
Not really. I saw clips. I didn't watch it.
It was pretty good.
Well, Vance is good. You see him here and there, and he's quite talented. Tina, he's a very good talker.
Tina was
he's
not
quick
a fan.
On his feet. He's not like he doesn't stumble, bumble or mumble.
He came very personable, and they went into quite some depth. And he would make a fine 49th president after, of course, Joe Biden is eliminated before January 20th. So Kamala Harris can be the first female president. Then Trump can get
it. I've heard that, but I think because of what I have coming up here in these clips, I don't think Biden's going to do that.
All right. Let me just play this Rogan clip. This is not J.D. Vance. This is Fetterman. Who let that guy out? Especially onto the Rogan show.
The significant number of illegal aliens being allowed into the country every year. I think it was 2 million people. It was still the same sort of situation. And their fear is exactly what I talked about, that these people will be moved to swing states and that will be used to essentially rig those states and turn them blue forever.
I'm not really sure if that's what's in play. I think it's really like it's important that we have an honest conversation.
But doesn't that seem logical, though? If you have a significant number of people that are being moved into swing states that have come across the border illegally, and then you've provided them with all these services, you provided them with food stamps, EBT, you've provided them with housing, you could, if you gave those people amnesty and allowed those people to vote, and it was very organized. You're talking about 75,000 votes over a few counties that switched everything over to the Republicans. You could see how you import 10 million people over the course of 4 years illegally and then move a significant number of them to swing states and then provide them with all these services and then give them a path to citizenship. You could essentially rig those states.
Undeniably, immigration is changing our nation. I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time in Texas, but it's very clear that immigration has remade Texas.
Undeniably.
Texas talks about Texas being
going blue.
Over.
Texas going blue. All right, go for your clips.
That ain't gonna happen, by the way.
No, they always say that. We've heard it for five cycles in a row. All right, go for your sequence.
And of course, Cruz uses it as campaign rhetoric so he can get more money.
I am sick of Cruz.
I like Cruz. I don't care what you think.
No, hey. I still think he's good for what he does, but his text messages like, I'm in the fight of my life.
I don't get to see any of that crap. You know, Mimi gets, she somehow got on the Harris message thing on the phone.
She donated.
No, they I don't know. It's because she's in Washington State. They assume everyone there's a Democrat. Oh, okay. But yeah. She gets a these phone messages. And I told her whatever she does not to unsubscribe or do anything. And she never get any worse. Of these phone messages. Well, I don't understand that.
Because your phone is in the drawer.
Yeah, so
it's, as far as the campaigning companies,
you mean your phone has to be out?
You're inactive. You're an inactive user. They think that you may they've taken you off the list. Oh, that guy's dead.
To them.
Yeah, so, to them.
So she'll get like 10 a day.
Oh, she's on the low rotation list.
And she sends them. I said, send me a bunch of them. I want to look at them because I wanted to deconstruct the sales pitch. And
the sales pitch is poor, man. It's poor.
It's amateur hour. And who's writing the copy?
Well,
try to find someone who knows what they're doing. That's it. And I explained to me a couple of the basic rules of how to present the sales letter. And it was like, they are just screwing the pooch with this junk.
They need to be sending pictures of very sad puppies. They've got it all wrong.
Yeah, we're going to have to be doing that pretty soon.
By the way, I'm pretty convinced. I never click on any of the links. I'm pretty convinced at least half of those are scammers. You think you're donating to a campaign and you're donating to China or something. I'm not so sure they're all legit.
Well, that's an interesting possibility.
Why not?
The latest is they want $47. And Mimi's just baffled. Why 47?
Well,
they usually want $5.
She doesn't understand 47. She doesn't understand the 47.
Well, you tell her. Tell me. I don't know. Understand it either.
47th president.
Oh, duh.
Pretty much a no agenda trick right there.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So that now you know when we do stuff like that, people are going. $33? Why? Why
$33? The magic number. There's a reason for that.
All right.
47.
Let me know.
They present it, though, it's not as though she's... Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, let me know about Biden. Why is he not going anywhere?
Here's Blago on Biden.
Blago. Okay, so we have, Blago is back.
So Blago's been on Gutfeld, too. So Blago, who was pardoned, well, he's commuted by Trump. He was not pardoned.
Well, explain who he is for
Rod Blagojevich was the governor of Illinois who was caught, supposedly. He claims this is bull crap. He was just casually chatting on the phone with somebody, and his phone line was tapped for some unknown reason by the feds.
By Obama.
Maybe. And he was supposedly auctioning off Obama's seat because he was a senator and he had to quit to run for president. And so Blago, which is his nickname, decided to auction off the seat. Oh, you know, and he's talking to somebody. I mean, this is a gold mine. We're going to make a lot of money on this deal. To one of his buddies, and they put it on tape and guilty. So they sent him to prison for 14 years for just making the comment. He didn't, they can't prove he did anything.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And so he was pissed about that. And so then went, and nobody would do anything about it. So Trump commuted him in 2020, I think. And so Blago, I think, feels indebted to Trump. So now he's a big Trump supporter. And so he comes on the Fox shows now. And so he was on Jesse Waters.
Yeah, the Waters well.
Sorry?
The Waters well. We're going to the Waters well.
The Waters well. He is actually, the show is called Jesse Waters Primetime. So he goes on the show, and Waters is trying to talk about a couple of different topics in this show. And Blago drops his beauty right in his lap, and then he brings it back later in the conversation. And Waters is like, kind of, you know, this is not the way the script's supposed to go, so I'm going to go back and talk about what I was going to talk about, what was written for me. These shows are very structured, and they're written by a staff of people in the background, and Waters had the opportunity here to really make hay with this, and which he didn't. I don't think he did. He just kind of went along with it. But I thought it was dynamite, and it brought me to the point in the newsletter where I took it to the next level. But listen to Blago talk about the garbage comment.
Former Democratic Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich joins me now. So they got Biden, who escaped the White House, continues to humiliate his understudy. Now they took his phone, they took his laptop. Do you think there's going to be another blow up before Tuesday?
You know, Jesse, it's too bad Biden votes in Delaware, not in Pennsylvania, because that would be another vote for Trump. Right. I think Biden has actually pulled the knife that she stuck in his back a few months ago and is now taking it out and has stuck it in her back. This is payback, what he's doing. I know he's infirm and he's not the guy he used to be, but calling the American people garbage, that was no mistake. And doing it on the eve of the election the way he did, stepping on her message at her big event, this was purposeful. But Joe Biden doesn't want to be remembered in history as Herbert Hoover, plus being forced out by his party after winning 14 million Democratic primary votes. So the Democratic Party is facing the chickens coming home to roost. They've been lying so long to the American people. They lie to each other. She was working behind the scenes to get him out so she can get his spot. And now he's doing it to her. And these lies have come home. And I think, hopefully, God willing, we won't need Biden's vote in Pennsylvania. Trump will win it anyway.
Oh, stuck the knife in.
So they talk about a bunch of stuff in the media for another 5 or 6 minutes. And then at the very end, they wrap it with this, which is he brings it back. And then after he does this little, his hit, as they would call it,
because
they brought in another guy from another Fox contributor and they start talking about something else. It's just the fact that they dropped the ball on this. Great material is beyond me, but here we go.
Because she was in charge of the border. Something like 20 million people have crashed into our country illegally. She can't answer that, so they have to do what they do, call him all kinds of names, and lie and lie and lie, because that's what they do. But it's catching up to him. I truly believe the American people.
It does look like it's catching up to him, because they have Biden on the loose. And now Obama's guys are threatening Joe. He's not going to have a library if he keeps up the stupid talk. At what point does Barack Obama take any ownership of this? They cooed the guy. He's still alive. He's making everyone's life miserable. I mean, what more can they do?
I don't know that they can do much more. And again, I think this is much larger than just, taking orders from the establishment. Biden is aggrieved and he feels like he was cheated by the Democrat establishment that made him. He made her and she knifed him in the back. And this is his payback. And why not? Look at how they're treating him with the kind of contempt and disrespect. He's the sitting president of the United States, who only 6 months ago, they all said, was mentally capable. Now they're treating him like he's the well-demented grandfather who's, they're afraid he might say something bad and stupid. And frankly, they're right to have that fear. But I really believe Biden knows what he's doing. And I think that comment about garbage and, you know, some of the other things he's been saying, I think they've been targeted, they've been timed, and I think they've been very effective to put a monkey wrench into the Harris campaign.
He's cagier than he looks and appears to be. We'll see how it
all
shakes
out. Sly old fox.
Waters, you know, this is why he's on Fox. He's not a podcaster, because he's not picking up on the meat. He's gnawing on the bone. He didn't figure it out.
It's just the nature of that job. You know, it's like you're given a script. You have to. This is where you get your A B block, your B block, your C block, your D block. It's going to be this.
We got to hit the ad break. Black.
And you got So he's handed a golden nugget here, which you could extrapolate. Which I put in the newsletter. The next extrapolation, which I believe to be true, which is that if what Blago says is true, and I believe it is. There could be communication going on between Biden's camp and Trump's camp, and that accounts for the fact that Trump heard about the garbage comment supposedly first time on the plane, as we mentioned in the clip we played last show, and then he gets off the plane and there's a garbage truck that he's going to get into. He's got the garb. They've already got that for him, the vest. The garbage truck is outfitted with a giant Trump sign that's either painted on or...
No, it was a wrap. Tina came into the studio and complained.
It fit that truck. It wasn't like some... It was white. It was everything about it was rigged. It was too quick. I don't know about you, but... You try to get a bunch of things accomplished at the same time with the press there and everything. All the press was there, and the same press that he had at his one of his meetups. And he
I'm with you. I can't
it
even
was get, a scam.
I can't even get a guy to do the dishwasher within a week. I'm with you.
I mean, yes, I'm there's a perfect example. I'm with you. This thing was all ready to go. Like it was it had to have been planned in advance. There's no way you can do this quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm totally in agreement with Blagojevich. It's just this Biden is behind this. He's trying to sabotage Kamala, and the more talk of this race being close, the more likely Biden's going to do something again before Tuesday.
You know, a lot of people, when he had that MAGA hat and he put it on and he carried it up the steps of Air Force One, a lot of people said he's sending a message. And maybe he was sending a message. In the meantime, AP comes out with a report.
Yeah, wait. Actually, now that you mentioned that MAGA hat, when he put it on, after complaining, he puts that hat on. That should have given us the clue that everything after that, it's like the moment.
Yeah.
Everything after that is, okay, this is bullcrap.
Headline, White House altered record of Biden's garbage remarks despite stenographer concerns from the Associated Press. Listen to this. Biden, according to a transcript prepared by the official White House stenographers, told the Latino group on a Tuesday evening video call, the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable and it's un-American, end quote. The transcript released by the White House press office, however, rendered the quote with an apostrophe. Hello, Scott Adams, who are you working for? Reading supporters, possessive, rather than supporters. Which aides said pointed to Biden criticizing Hinchcliffe, not the millions of Americans who are supporting Trump for president. Now, the change was made after the press office conferred with the president, according to an internal email from the head of the stenographer's office that was obtained by the AP. The authenticity of the email was confirmed by two government officials who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss internal matters. Okay. The supervisor in the email called the press office's handling of the matter, quote, a breach of protocol and spoliation.
I'd have to look at it. Spoil. It's probably spoilation, like spoiled.
Oh, but they
put like a rotten banana.
Spoilation of transcript integrity between the stenography and press offices. If there is a difference in interpretation, the press office may choose to withhold the transcript, but cannot edit it independently. The supervisor wrote, adding, our stenography office transcript released to our distro, which includes the National Archives, is now different than the version edited and released to the public by the press office staff. This is a scandal.
Again, now that this was linked in the newsletter, this story.
Mm-hmm.
The if we're going by the fact that this is all a scheme, the fact that this all came out like this, which I've never seen anything like this before. This had to be just to draw more attention
to it. Yes,
to it.
Why else is the AP running the story? The AP is not all of a sudden, oh, we're on the side of truth. No, they're not. They're not. Now AP is the best ever. Oh, look at their reporting, good stuff. No, they're not.
Exactly.
Now,
so this is fun. I'm telling you,
it's total fun.
In terms of media deconstruction and digging deeper into the stories, which is what we're supposed to do. And
yeah,
we do.
We try.
This is a beauty.
It's a gem. Not for the water's well. It's over his head.
The water's well
is over his head. Allow us to go to MSNBC the weekend.
And by the way, since, you know, Waters and that whole Fox operation, which is suspect.
Yeah.
They can't jump all over this. And this wasn't... Because I watched the after he went on, Blago was also on Gutfeld, but he never brought this little element on it.
Was he told not to, you think?
I don't know. He was on Gutfeld before he went on Waters. When he went on Waters, it could have been carried over to Gutfeld, that the notion, but it wasn't. So I'm just, you know, I don't think Fox is too happy with this.
No, because it's against their the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beal. MSNBC The Weekend. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you for the recognition of network. MSNBC, yes. The Weeknd, they know what's going to happen. And this is, so there's kind of two narratives that I'm catching. One is that the Democrats are afraid the Republicans are going to cheat, which is kind of an interesting little subtext. It's subtle, but it's in there. And without doubt, we have the expected, well, Trump just does what Trump does.
Let's talk about what we can expect just in the next few days. I want you to look at two different things side by side. So first, you have the Harris campaign saying that they fully expect Trump to declare victory before the votes are counted. They're prepared for that. And then I want you to listen to what Steve Bannon is using to sort of whip up his folks. This is
whip
from the
up.
War room.
On whip Tuesday. Them guys back. Whip them good.
They are signaling you right now what they're going to do. Every day, what you see, oh, we're going to delay. We can't count the vote for 7 days. We're going to take mail-in ballots 5 days later.
We're going to take down the grid.
Every day after November, the evening of November 5th, is going to be Stalingrad.
Stalingrad.
Where Mark Elias is in court. And what? They're going to do this to slow it down. If they can't take it away from Trump, if they can't nullify it right there, they can't nullify it right there. They want to at least delegitimize his victory.
So what we have actually heard from Democrats, from Marco Elias himself, is it will take time to count these votes properly. And there's some expectation management around the fact that we may not go to bed. You and I are never going to, we're not going to sleep for another night. 3 weeks but yeah. On Tuesday night. And instead, they are trying to act as though there is a plot on the Democratic side to delegitimize this election.
Yeah, that's an old trick. Oh, he's setting everybody up, get everybody all ready,
I have to make a comment here. So they have this, all of a sudden, I don't know where did this come from, but it's going to take weeks and weeks. The statisticians and analysts that have been working on these elections forever do exit surveys and exit polling, and they do all the stuff that's necessary to get, you know, 1% of the vote is in. We declared for somebody. 1% is in, and the week declared. They use statistical analysis to declare the winner far in advance of the final vote. Yeah. Why is that going to change all of a sudden?
The media selects our presidents. That's exactly how it went. Oh, Arizona, within 30 minutes. Arizona, it's in for Arizona on Fox News. I have not forgotten.
I know you're going to.
I'm staking my reputation on it. That's what they said. Staking my reputation.
Yeah, I remember it.
Now, but we need to keep going. Here's CNN. This is the Burnett Woman with Amy Klobuchar.
The Harris campaign said it does fully expect that Trump will declare that he has won on Tuesday, regardless of whether he wins or loses. And I know that this has actually been a big topic in your own Senate race against the former professional basketball player Royce White. He once tweeted out a photo, actually, Senator, of him with the words "Trump won" written on his head during a game. And you and he had a debate just the other day. Here's what he said.
Did Donald Trump lose Minnesota in 2020?
It would appear so. Yeah, it would appear so. But I can't be sure. And I don't think that that's dangerous to say.
I know you disagree on whether it's dangerous to say. Can I ask you, though?
No. What is she going to ask?
How do you think Trump and his
Wait, let me guess.
Okay.
I'm going to guess what she's going to ask. Well, you know, the Democrats, like people like Stacey Abrams, still think she's governor of Georgia. No. To this day, she doesn't admit that she lost that election. And Hillary was always moaning about it. Not my president. He's an illegitimate president and all the rest. So how does that jive with what you're talking about? That's what she's going to ask.
What about is a man?
How do you think Trump and his supporters will accept a loss?
Wrong, John.
I mean, do you think Trump will just never accept him? And do you think that violence is something that you just legitimately expect is going to happen here or not?
By the way, I'm seeing clips of Minnesota and the Muslim community and the who else is there? The Ilhan Omar people. Where are they from?
Sudanese.
They're all saying, oh, we're voting for Trump. We're voting because Trump will stop the war in the Middle East.
Yes. They finally got a clue about that.
Back to Klobuchar.
have been a lot of changes to our laws, including the Electoral Count Act that I worked on with Democrats and Republicans as chair of the Rules Committee, that we have made that is going to make it very clear that you can't mess around with the electoral ballots and you can't use leverage with one member of Congress to object to the result. That does make a difference. Mm-hmm. We also have made it very clear. We just, as we put out a report from the Rules.
So when Hillary lost, that Maxine Waters and every other Democrat who was just a radical came up and protested the election in front of Congress. And yeah. they eliminated that? Is that what she's telling us?
No, you need more than one. You need more than one.
They had more than one.
Yeah, at the time they had more than one. But they've changed it now. They've changed those rules now in Congress. So you can't have just one. You need more than one. So it's irrelevant. There'll always be more than one. It's just,
this is showboating.
We also have made it very clear. We just, as we put out a report from the Rules Committee on this, Democrats, that we know there are differences on election night and counting. Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, for instance, do not start counting their ballots from their citizens until that day of the election. Michigan has made it a little easier, like many other states. They're at least opening the ballots for jurisdictions over 5,000, so they will be able to count things quicker. Do I wish Wisconsin and Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania, I'm going to Pittsburgh tomorrow to help out on my mind. Do I wish they did things like they do in Minnesota? Maybe. But the point is, states have the right to make their own election laws.
Yeah.
And so that's why we know we often see the results come in later in some of these states. And he tries to mine that for saying there's something wrong with our system.
Well, our system is wrong. There's a lot wrong with our system. Now I need to go to the professionals. Because as we all know, Trump is a fascist. And he's literally Hitler. And Deutsche Welle, they have that that kind of odd-looking woman in D.C. She's a D.C. correspondent with the short, spiky hair. And she has
a with a weird accent.
Very nice German accent. Yes, very
I'm
nice.
I'm sorry
German,
I said that.
German. You said it. Yeah, well, you're up one. You're only two, trailing me by two now.
I should catch up.
Here's the lead-in.
Is Donald Trump a fascist?
That's a leading question.
Well, that's not even the question.
Are you still beating your wife? Yes or no? Yes or no?
That's not the question. He's just leading into the package.
Is Donald Trump a fascist? His former chief of staff says so. And he says that Trump was envious of the power that Adolf Hitler had.
Envious.
Now, this was reason enough for DW's Washington Bureau Chief Enos Pohl to speak with historian Timothy Ryback, the author of Takeover, Hitler's Final Rise to Power.
Enos and her brother. So Enos is talking to the author of this book about Hitler's final rise to power, which I have not read the book. I'm just going to presume it's about Trump. And this guy, he's so off the wall. They edited in like a minute. They edited, I counted at least 8 edits. But he will start by explaining why he is a fascist. Because, you know, there's a parallel with elections and a certain A.H.
Timothy Ryback, thank you so much for taking time to speak with DW.
You're all happy to be here.
There's a huge debate here in the United States whether it is correct to call Donald Trump or compare Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler. What do you say to that?
I think there are fascistic postures, but I don't know if I would go as far to identify someone specifically as a fascist. The single most to my mind, similar identifier is an absolute blindness to any kind of defeat, anything that doesn't fit into your worldview. Adolf Hitler was astonishing. He went from one catastrophe to another, from one defeat to another. He ran in the presidential election of 1932. He lost by 6 million votes. And you know what he did? He claimed election fraud, and he went to court to have the election results overturned.
Aha! Aha! it's the Hitler playbook.
Proof positive. But I always thought it was the Putin playbook, but it's the Hitler playbook.
And it gets better.
What else do you see in him with a fascist tendency?
Trump did say he would be dictator for one day on day one. And he identifies that as a modality for governance and rule, which we've known for millennia, the authoritarian rulers. And, Hitler definitely embraced that. And I think Trump's embrace of that authoritarian rule, the vengeance, all of that is the most unsettling part of it. But I think this inherent view that democratic processes are not the best way to run a country.
That's why we're a representative and constitutional republic. We're not a democracy.
We're not a democracy. I don't know why they keep insisting on this.
Is certainly, unquestionably, a key fascistic trait. Hitler himself
declared. Wait, so just saying, here we go. So just by saying we're not a democracy is a fascistic trait.
Is certainly, unquestionably, a key fascistic trait. Hitler himself declared that he vowed to destroy democracy through democratic process. He had to appear in court as a witness at a trial in September 1930, and Hitler basically said this to the judge, that he was out to destroy democracy through democratic process. The judge said so, but through constitutional processes. Hitler gave a one-word answer, jawohl.
Jawohl. Jawohl, I'm going to do it, jawohl. And what they're all overlooking, that's crazy. What everyone is overlooking is the way our system works is a representative voting process. It is the Electoral College, besides the media, of course, it is the Electoral College who decides who their state declares the winner, except for two states where they can split it.
No, the other way around.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, well, you said the Electoral College determines what the states do.
What the state's vote is, what the state's vote is.
No, the state's vote and send their electoral representatives to the Electoral College.
What I mean is, on behalf of the state, they are representative.
Okay, that's better.
Okay, yes. Thank you for correcting me. I accept it. Because people forget about this, except for the Democrats who keep wanting to get rid of it for obvious reason.
Yeah, hello. Hello, ooh. I say it again.
Ooh,
they definitely want to get rid of it because it doesn't suit their purposes. Because
it works. So this next report.
Because it works to keep creeps out.
So this next report, which happens to be from TRT, Turkish Radio Television, made me think. Yes, I like it a lot. Made me think that we may see something else that no one is really talking about because we still have independent candidates. Now, as you know, Jill Stein, she ruined it for Hillary. It's patently not true. And now we still have RFK Jr. on several ballots. Listen to this report.
He's on the California ballot.
I think I may be mistaken, but I think I saw him on the Texas ballot, too.
First, they didn't want him on any ballots. And then once he got out.
Keep him on.
Put him on whether he wants to be on it or not.
He's a spoiler.
All over Southeast Wisconsin, you'll see yard signs for Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Except in this neighborhood, where they're pulling for the Green Party and its presidential candidate, Jill Stein.
We will vote against genocide, not for genocide.
Stein is considered the most pro-Palestinian presidential candidate and increasingly drawing in younger Wisconsinites, especially Muslim and minority voters. The Democratic Party tried and failed to get Stein kicked off Wisconsin's ballot because it said she wouldn't meet the state's presidential election requirements. Meantime, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. tried to get himself kicked off Wisconsin's ballot and failed. Now that he suspended his own independent campaign for president and endorsed Trump, Kennedy doesn't want his name on the ballot to siphon votes away from Trump.
The campaigns always worry about that, especially here in close Wisconsin. You often see the third party candidates getting more than the margin between the top two. So in principle, they could have swung the election.
In fact, that's what happened in 2016. Jill Stein won more votes in Wisconsin than Trump's margin of victory over Hillary Clinton. So everyone's just assumed that Stein cost Clinton the state's election.
If the Republicans are worried about Kennedy or the Democrats worried about Stein, they're not showing it.
You think you're confident that that won't be an issue?
We've been sending out a very strong message that a third party vote is a vote for Donald Trump. And people know what's at risk in this election.
So here's my thinking.
Risk.
Here's my thinking. Tell me if I'm wrong. If you are if you're an elector, so you've got the you're a member of your state's electoral. Was it board? What do they call it? Board or panel?
There's panel. Yes.
You're on the slate. You're on the slate of electors. And yes. Yeah, and you see better. And you see this Trump and Harris, and it's, yeah, maybe it's kind of even, maybe, and you see a whole bunch of RFK Jr. votes. Would you not then be able to make a case within your slate to say, well, clearly, because he's part of the campaign, the people are saying, we want this platform, we want these people to be governing. And therefore, even if Trump was at a loss against Harris in a state, but then there's enough RFK Jr. votes, I think that that would be beneficial to the decision that a slate of electors would make. I don't think it's a bad thing now that I consider it.
Because, well, they think it's a bad thing, so there must be some rationale.
No, because they don't want the Electoral College. We want one vote, one person, one vote.
One person, one vote.
So we can win all the time. Now we go to NPR, who, in their infinite wisdom, have decided, you know, if you do a podcast, you got to have video. If you don't have video with your podcast, it's no good.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It refers specifically to the old Apple device, the iPod.
This was
an audio device. There was no video on an iPod.
It has always worked with later versions of the iPod, but that's not the point. The podcast industrial complex, when advertising went away, really declined massively for dynamically inserted ads. It all really happened after Apple, interestingly enough. They released iOS 16, and with iOS 16, their podcast app had different behavior. And if you subscribe to a podcast, it didn't download older episodes. If it's a daily podcast, it would withhold episodes if you weren't listening to it. But let's say you hadn't listened Monday through Thursday. On Friday, if you clicked on that episode, it would then auto download the four before, and they did away with that, and that dropped the ad the downloads, which is
that's interesting,
by 30 to some say 35 maybe even 40%.
Well, wasn't that also combined with some group that came along that did advertising counting or something?
There's always you've always had the IAB, the Interactive Advertising Bureau.
That had nothing to do with it. You tell me it's the Apple mechanism that really was responsible for the fall off?
Since you ask, the IAB certifies log files of hosting companies. Then they certify that these are factual downloads, they're downloads from individuals and not from ClickFarm somewhere
your
in Asia.
Bots, yeah.
Right. Of course, it's the Interactive Advertising Bureau. They work on behalf of the companies that have media who want to sell them. So they could say, hey, look, these are legit. These are coming from, even though everybody in the industry knew that there was auto downloading going on. So when Apple Bastards. Turned that off, they had to keep their same metric and say, well, yeah, there you go. It's less downloads. That's when NPR ran into trouble. That's when NPR started firing people. All of this started to fall apart. And in their infinite wisdom, the advertising agencies, they all said, well, that's because, you know, podcasts are moving towards video, which really meant you need.
That's bull crap.
I'm telling you, I do this for a living.
What?
I study this for a living. I thought
you did this show for a living, and now all of a sudden I discover this?
I'm sorry. I do this show for a living. My mission in life is to keep podcasting free and open, and that's why there's Podcast Index. So,
let me write that down. Okay, continue.
So the advertising agencies all still wanted to get that podcast money, keep that going. So they said, oh, no, it's all moving towards video. Why did they say that? Because video is predominantly done on places like YouTube. That would be number one. Why do they like it? Because YouTube has actual viewer data. They can see when an ad ran, if somebody actually watched it. Rumble has the same thing. So they wanted to move them into closed gated systems where you can get that, what they call first party data, to prove, it absolutely, by the way, there's also a lot of extra opportunity to game and rig the system, because everyone knows how you can rig stuff with YouTube, and you can get.
Yeah, and it's very doable. It goes right back to that Coney 2012, and that Coney guy.
100 million overnight.
Overnight. More than
Joe Rogan and Trump, even though there's arguably a lot more people on YouTube. So the whole thing is bullcrap. So there's this continuous move, and we do a board meeting on Fridays. That's really what I'm talking about. We discuss these things, Dave Jones and I. And there's a couple of people who are continuously, well, don't you think the industry is moving towards a video? No, it's not moving towards video. That's what the advertising business wants, the podcast industrial complex. So you get NPR, who is in dire straits. That, I mean, we heard Ira Glass saying, it's This American Lifeboat. This American have you heard life the latest, raft.
Not to interrupt your train of thought, but have you heard the latest idea scam of NPR? I have a clip.
Well, play that. I love this kind of interruption.
You're going to get a kick out of this one.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, NPR bundle.
Okay, so does this sound like you? You love NPR's podcasts. You wish you could get more of all your favorite shows, and you want to support NPR's mission to create a more informed public. If all that sounds appealing, then it is time to sign up for the NPR Plus bundle.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to have the NPR, plus.
You gotta have the plus. We needed a No Agenda Plus.
Thinking the same thing. We had No Agenda Plus bundle.
Plus bundle, yes. Well, this is what they're doing. Is they're doing subscriptions, which is okay. You know, I'm sure you can convert X number of your listeners to subscriptions, but then you either keep it all behind the paywall, and you don't have an opportunity to easily get new people unless you put out sub-premium content, because of course people are paying for the premium, the good stuff in your plus bundle, or what? You know, there is no other way, and also you become less relevant in the world because there's just not that many people that are hearing it. So they're moving towards nonsense like that. Long setup to the news lady, I forget her name, she'll mention her name. And so now her newscasts are on video. And as a television producer emeritus, she has the perfect face for radio, if you know what I mean.
Oh, so I didn't know this. But some NPR, this happens with the newspaper women too and guys. All of a sudden, they're news people. They're in the newspaper business, which is even one step removed from being on audio where you talk.
Well, this is the actual news reader.
And they move them up to like a TV show, and they're just terrible.
So she's doing her actual news radio report in the booth with their cans, with the cans on, big Neumann mic, big Neumann mic, showing you where your plus money went to that $1,200 microphone.
They're more than that now.
And it's a close up. It's a close up. It's like, why? Why?
And of course, she's got no TV makeup on for sure.
Good morning. Today
that costs money.
Yeah, here we go. And now back to the report.
Good morning. Today is Friday, November 1st. I'm Corva Coleman from NPR News, and here are today's top stories. The presidential candidates will campaign in more swing states today. Yesterday, both Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump were in the Southwest. Harris held a rally in Phoenix. Later in the day, Trump met supporters in the Phoenix suburb of Glendale. NPR's Ben Giles reports Trump spoke with former Fox primetime star Tucker Carlson.
In the final days of his campaign, Trump said he was confident he'd win on Tuesday and sowed the seeds for his supporters to doubt the results if he's defeated by Vice President Kamala Harris.
We're doing very well. I think we're leading by a lot.
A lot.
And if we can keep them, if we can keep that cheating down, because they're a bunch of cheats, if we can keep that cheating down, we're going to have a tremendous victory, I think.
Trump also echoed a conspiracy theory that Democrats may be allowing immigrants into the country to let them vote illegally. Ben Giles, NPR News, Phoenix.
Former President Donald Trump often falsely claims that there is widespread cheating in elections. There is no evidence of this, nor has Trump ever provided any.
Hold on a second. This is obviously pet peeve of mine. How do you falsely claim? You claim.
Well, not only that, she used the W word, which is important when it comes to the Electoral College and small counties. The W word.
The W word.
Ben Giles, NPR News, Phoenix.
Former President Donald Trump often falsely claims that there is widespread cheating in elections.
Widespread. You know, some districts, counties.
By the way, have you ever heard Trump say widespread cheating?
No, I've never heard him use.
No, you haven't, because he's never said widespread. So how could he have falsely claimed there's widespread cheating when he's never said that?
You know, there is a huge pile of trash on your radio dial. It's known as NPR. So now
and people sending their money to NPR should rethink their priorities.
Now the best, this was so beautiful, because you need to get Washington Post reporters on television. WAPO Live, WAPO has a, this is your man, by the way, K-Part. K-Part is the host of this.
He is so butthurt over this. This is a great clip.
Well, there's a couple of things that are interesting. First is, so you have Hugh Hewitt.
He was never a Trump fan, by the way.
No. And he makes this is about what happened in Georgia. Let me see. I think I have the.
Where Stacey Abrams is still governor?
Yes, the one. So there's they didn't want to, check the voting machine, whatever it is. Something in Georgia. Trump doesn't like it. And then the associate editor of the Washington Post, and that, so they're in little boxes, he and Hewitt. I guess Hewitt works. Does he work for the Washington Post?
He's
as well?
A columnist, I believe. He's actually a talk show host, a radio guy.
Right. Yeah. And so she starts talking about the court cases, and then Hewitt butts in. And then the following happens.
Is it me, or does it seem like this week Donald Trump is?
And I love K-Part. He starts off K-Partish, but at the end, I mean, you're right. He got butthurt. He all of a sudden becomes like a
more than usual,
a flamboyant gay guy, which he probably is in his spare
time.
He's
a flamboyant gay guy,
but he really the whole cadence, everything comes in, which was fascinating.
Is it me, or does it seem like this week Donald Trump is laying the groundwork for contesting the election by complaining that cheating was taking place in Pennsylvania, by suing Bucks County for alleged irregularities? And this is on top of his continual assertion that if he loses, it's because of cheating.
Yeah, that's what he's been laying the groundwork for.
That's better than hello. I gotta practice it on.
You can get that down.
Assertion that if he loses, it's because of cheating.
Yeah, that's what he's been laying the groundwork for this, just not in the last week, but in the last umpty-ump months. It's umpty-ump. No election.
John, the umpty-ump. I do the umpty-ump. What
the
is
umpty-umpth month?
This is a newspaper. This is a newspaper lady.
Yeah, she's an editor of the Washington Post.
I do the umpty-ump.
Work for this, just not in the last week, but in the last umpty-ump months. It's no election.
I mean, that's worse than bajillion. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't say umpty. Who says umpty-ump?
She does. Not I've heard it before, but it was when I was a kid,
I've
I think.
Never umpty heard umpty-ump. Umpty-ump. How old are you, umpty-ump?
Week, but in the last umpty-ump months. No election can be fair unless Donald Trump wins it. And I think we are going to see him both rev up his supporters to contest elections outside of courtrooms and go to every courtroom he can in America where it's relevant to make whatever arguments he can, no matter how far-fetched. We saw
that
last time, but it didn't work out this time. It may not happen this time. And now I'll let you go, Hugh.
Well, I've just got to say, we're news people, even though we're at the opinion section. It's got to be reported. Bucks County was reversed by the court and instructed to open up extra days because they violated the law and told people to go home. So that lawsuit was brought by the Republican National Committee, and it was successful. The Supreme Court ruled that Glenn Youngkin was successful. We are news people, even though we have opinions, and we have to report the whole story if we bring up part of the story. So, yes, he's upset about Bucks County, but he was right, and he won in court. That's the story.
Uh-oh.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Capehart?
I'll let you keep going, Jonathan.
I don't appreciate being lectured about reporting when you, many times you come here saying lots of things that aren't.
I won't come back,
fact.
Jonathan. I'm done. This is the most unfair election ad I have ever been a part of. You guys are working. That's fine. I'm done.
And so he rage quits, gets up and walks out, and he was right, but I don't know why he had to rage quit.
No, he's totally right.
I don't know why he had to rage quit over it. That was a little...
Bleh. Yeah, it was much. But, I agree.
But here comes the good part.
So, Ruth, you wrote a column this week ending with this line, and actually, I think this is perfect. I'm going to put it on the screen. You wrote, "You want to know the stakes of this election? Not only democracy, but decency." Talk more about that, Ruth.
She's frozen.
Okay, I'm collecting myself.
Oh, Ruth froze.
What?
Ruth is frozen.
And it went downhill from there. It's just...
Well, she came back on for a split second and it froze again and then they closed the show.
Yeah, I have... Anyway.
It was pathetic.
I mean, and Hewitt quitting like
that. Is the worst. And the fact that he is on PBS on the news hour on Fridays with Brooks, the supposed conservative who's actually more of a Democrat than he is. It's a pathetic situation with this guy.
Well, PBS is, you want to talk about pathetic. PBS did, I mean, I don't know why they even tried to do this anymore, but they had to really go against Trump.
Elitist voices of America. This is NPR or PBS.
And they brought out trans activist.
I have the trans clips.
Oh, I have the clips too.
You have all of I have it produced.
I have it produced as well. But if you'd like to, if you'd like to do it, how about that? This is interesting. I have 8 clips. You have 8 clips. Yeah, you do, including the intro. Yes, you do. No, you have 9. No, you have 8. We both have 8 clips. I
don't have 8 clips. I have 7 clips.
No, you have. Oh, you do. Then let me play my intro. Do you have the intro clip?
Yes, I do.
Well, then I think you should just do it because I had.
Well, I have them break. I have breakpoints. I think you'll appreciate.
If I can just say, this is why. This morning I hadn't received your clips. and I emailed you and you said,
I saw that late. I said,
I know.
I said, ah, bull crap. I always send these clips. And I went and looked at, cause I have a system that shows me that when the clips and all were sent, I dropped the ball on this.
It's okay. The excuse you used was valid. You said it's due to climate change. And I said,
exactly. It was climate change.
But this is why it's important that I have, cause you, just so everyone knows how it works. I have no idea.
You would have not done any of these
clips.
Yeah. I agree that that's probably true. And I blame myself.
So I think you should go for it.
I have this pretty well organized.
But do you have the picture in the show notes of of this woman, man, whatever this thing is, Aaron Reed?
Well,
no.
This is the most pathetic presentation. I agree with you. This doesn't surprise me that you would have pulled the same clips. I haven't broken down in a certain way because I have certain complaints to make.
Okay.
Let's start with the first one, which is PBS.
Spain is sending 10,000 more soldiers and police to the Valencia region in the aftermath of deadly floods there. So far,
this
more
is
than
anti-TG ads, yep. Lopez, PBS.
Yep.
Yep. And it starts with that. Oh, okay. Yep. Must we go? Okay. I get it.
Shall I do my intro then? Or you've got it.
No, it's the same. It'll be the same.
Okay. 100 bodies have been.
Yeah. I didn't put the Valencia stuff
covered
on.
And the search goes on for more. An unknown number of people are missing. Floodwaters that decimated the city this week have covered cars, buildings, and
move
homes.
Ahead.
No. You'll play your clip and then we'll go to mine.
Somehow something screwed up there. Here we go.
If you've watched TV this month, especially sports like football or baseball, you've likely seen campaign ads supporting Donald Trump by attacking Kamala Harris over transgender issues. Laura Barrón-López looks at what's behind them.
Lopez.
Less than 1% of the U.S. population identifies as transgender. But this election year, Republicans have spent a considerable amount of money on ads demonizing transgender people. From October 7th to the 20th, Trump's campaign and pro-Trump groups spent an estimated $95 million, and more than 41% of those ads were anti-trans.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
Hell no, I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to that.
Kamala supports transgender sex changes in jail with our money.
Kamala even supports letting biological men compete against our girls in their sports. Kamala is for them. President Trump is for you.
All right, there you go. There's your intro. Perfect intro.
It has one of my, one of the flaws. This is a flawed report because none of this is anti-trans.
No, at all. It's anti using money for surgeries. It's pro
and it's to
women,
protect children, yeah. And all the rest.
Yeah, but they're going after the LGBTQ plus.
And the woman they bring on, I think this starts with clip two. Play by clip two, and I think she's introduced.
Less than 1% of the U.S. population identifies as transgender.
Is that wrong?
We have different breakpoints. But yeah, play. Oh, I'm sorry, play from scratch.
It's all right.
But this election year, Republicans have spent a considerable amount of money on ads demonizing transgender people. From October 7th to the 20th, Trump's campaign and pro-Trump groups spent an estimated $95 million, and more than 41% of those ads were anti-trans.
All right, is your next clip the trans ads?
I stop it there, right?
Yep.
Because where is the demonization of trans people? We just said this a second ago, yeah. But I'm going to say it again. This is not about demonizing or hating on trans people. But that's what she says. That's her claim.
Have you noticed that it's LGBTQ plus, like a bundle? Just saying.
Wow, that's a good catch.
LGBTQ plus.
Yeah,
it's premium.
Yeah, Paramount plus.
Premium. It's premium.
Paramount plus. That's what I'm calling
so
it.
So should we skip three since that's the ads probably? Or do you need to play it?
We can skip three. Let's go to four.
Okay.
Anti-trans rhetoric is a regular part of Donald Trump's stump speeches. He regularly lies about kids going to school and receiving gender-affirming surgeries before they return home. But now in the final stretch, Republicans have been putting out increasing amount of ads that are anti-trans. trans, making it essentially their closing argument. Help us understand the scope and the rhetoric in these ads.
I have tracked around $100 million in ads. We see Donald Trump spending more money on these ads than on housing, immigration, and the economy combined. This is a major issue for him. Meanwhile, you have groups like the Senate Leadership Fund dropping extreme amounts of money in Senate races in Ohio, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, and they're all focused on transgender people.
Yeah, that is, it's, I'm glad you bring this up because it's bullcrap. It's not focusing on
transgender people.
You're carrying water for Putin. It's
focusing on the transgender ethos. It's focusing on pushing it into the public of kids going to school 1 minute and coming home trans. It's just like
that's great.
This misinterpretation of what they're trying to do, obviously, is to say, look, this is not healthy for the society. And like, let's go with the next clip. Unfortunately, we missed the introduction of this woman, who is the one that you were saying is so frightening. And she is also came out, I think it was when she's introduced, she is ahead of some research group looking into this.
I have her intro. It's very short, 18 seconds.
Yeah, play it.
Erin Reed is an advocate and independent journalist covering LGBTQ issues, and she tracks transgender legislation around the world. Recently, Erin announced her decision to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris in this year's presidential election. Erin, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on.
She has green hair.
She is a transgender activist researcher voting for Harris. So we got no objectivity whatsoever with this reporting from PBS. And that's the best they can do is bring on some lackey who is just a promoter of the Harris campaign. And that's what we're supposed to take this at face value as something valuable.
Have you seen this Reed person's TikTok channel?
No, I did not.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I would have been taking clips from it.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, you would have.
Okay, here we go to clip 5.
The top issues, according to most polls right now, is the economy, abortion, immigration. So why do you think Trump and his allies are making this one of their main closing arguments?
It's important to note that some of the biggest benefactors of the Republican Party, some of the most influential organizations in the party, we're talking groups like the Alliance Defending Freedom, for instance, have made this their main issue. If you're running a campaign in a place like Pennsylvania or Ohio or Michigan at any level and you want money in your campaign, targeting trans people is a really good way to do that. But as for Trump, I think that there's something different at play here. I think that this is a classic fear campaign. We've just got polling today showing that Harris is catching up on the economy and on other issues that Republicans tend to poll well in. And so the purpose of a fear campaign is to distract you from issues that you normally care about by making you so afraid of a group of people, of somebody like me, for instance, that you're willing to throw everything else away because you're scared.
Who are these ads targeting? They run during major sporting events. They were just on during the World Series. Who is he trying to reach here?
The group of people that are watching these sporting events are young men.
Okay,
let's stop there. There was a series of ESPN radio spots and some others that just bemoaning the fact that it's not young men watching these games. The youth of America has given up on sports. They play video games, they do all this other stuff.
No, they play their own games. They play their own games they play Madden football.
They don't watch football. If you look at the stands, it's middle-aged men. And the people who watch football, I'm one of them. I'm an old guy and I'm watching football. You don't watch it.
Nope.
And you're not that much younger, but if you go younger than you, nobody's what? No. They know that the demographic is failing on this. So she's full of shit right there that this is to appeal to all these young kids that are watching NFL football on TV. Most people won't even watch TV. I got Brennan and Jay, they come over to the house every so often. I put something on the TV, and boom, they're on their phones watching short clips from whatever. They don't know, but this is bull crap. She's completely off the mark here. It obviously did no research on any of this, and she's just a bigot. But let's continue with the
average. The average age is
45. Of an NFL football watcher?
Yes.
From 45 is not a young man.
From a quick search, so that's take that.
Yeah, it falls right into place. Well, I was listening to this ESPN radio, and there were guys who are just bitching and moaning about how the schools don't have PE in it. They don't even play sports. They don't do it in school. Nobody promotes it. All the kids are on their phones all the time, and they're all getting fat, and they don't do any. There's no calisthenics even. Nonsense what she said.
It's either that or they're working out listening to Joe Rogan. I agree. I think you're just superficially, from what I know, I would say you're correct. It's not even 30-year-olds.
Yeah, I just don't see it. Onward with six.
And I think in a lot of cases, the Republican Party is trying to tap into what they hope is some level of fear that they can draw up from that group of people. If you look at most polling, and anecdotally, really, young people tend to understand trans people better than anybody else.
Oh.
They're not as afraid of us. And I think that might be part of why this messaging campaign might be falling short.
These ads make pretty specific claims about surgery for transgender inmates and undocumented immigrants. Let's take a listen.
Under liberal borders are Kamala Harris. Illegal aliens are pouring into our country, including murderers, rapists, and even terrorists. Instead of paying for their crimes and receiving justice, Kamala will give criminal illegal aliens taxpayer-funded transgender surgeries.
Walk us through the facts about what's actually happened with those populations.
What the ad is actually talking about is medical care in the United States is a right. By the Eighth Amendment, you cannot deny medical care to prisoners.
Wow.
And under the law, a law that was in place during the Trump administration, if a doctor determines that an inmate needs medical care, then they get it. So these ads are actually focused on two instances where a transgender person received gender-affirming care in prison, a surgery. And the amount of money spent on these particular cases is far less than the amount of advertising dollars that Trump is pouring into this issue.
Wait.
About 200 to 400 times
equivalency.
Easy does it. It's almost over. Hold on.
So these ads are actually focused on two instances where a transgender person received gender-affirming care in prison, a surgery. And the amount of money spent on these particular cases is far less than the amount of advertising dollars that Trump is pouring into this issue. About 200 to 400 times more money is being used in political ads to make you afraid of two transgender inmates, so afraid that you're not going to care about the economy anymore. You're not going to care about abortion anymore.
This is the end of mainstream media as we know it. When you resort to this level, the ad is about illegal immigration. And then they throw a little cherry on top, which is for obvious reasons. Oh, that's an outrage.
This Lopez woman, who is the worst reporter on PBS.
Is she the newbie?
And she's so biased.
Is she the new one?
Yeah, she's the little Hispanic girl.
Who needs hand makeup?
No.
Oh.
No, the hand makeup, that's that you're that's talking the, about. Welker.
Yes, I'm confused.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone, I still get notes to this day saying, I'm condemning me for pointing out the fact that if you're watching Kristen Welker do her Meet the Press or whatever it is, whatever show that one is, it's either Face the Nation or it's Meet the Press. Mm. If you look at her hands, they're the hands of an old black man that worked the fields.
Yes.
And it's like, it's so distracting that you just can't, you just, once you see it, you go, it just ruins your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get condemnation for pointing that out. And I just did it again. So I get some more notes. But this woman is just a bigoted Democrat lackey. And she doesn't push back on anything this crazy woman said. No, it's fine. What else? Tell me more. And so we go to, I think we're on the final clip.
Aaron, when you take a step back, what are the stakes in this election for transgender Americans?
It's been an especially difficult year.
Did this thing say especially? I heard
yes, especially.
In this election for transgender Americans.
It's been an especially difficult year in the last two or three years for trans people. Just 2 days ago in Odessa, Texas, they passed a $10,000 bounty on trans people found in the bathroom.
Bounty.
I've been tracking.
What? Wait a minute. A bounty on what?
You're in Texas. You should know all about this bounty.
I'm a bounty hunter. I need to go get me some trans in the bathroom.
Just 2 days ago in Odessa, Texas, they passed a $10,000 bounty on trans people found in the bathroom. I've been tracking anti-LGBTQ legislation for years now, and it's not just the ads. The legislatures themselves are spending more time on this issue than anything else. This has been priority number one. And the trans people that live in these states, they constantly have to hear their humanity debated in public. They constantly have to worry about things that I think a lot of Americans take for granted. Things like going to the bathroom, getting an updated driver's license, playing a school sport with your friends. But trans people right now are under a relentless assault by the Republican Party. These bills are passing in primarily Republican states. Even if Trump doesn't win and we get a Kamala Harris presidency, we have to contend with a nation that has been primed to hate people like me.
Aaron Reed, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's not about hating. It's always about, me. Nobody cares about you.
They care
about their kids, perhaps, being groomed to be trans, or they care about taxpayer money being used, or even though it's only been used a couple of times, doesn't matter. Or about prisoners saying, I'm a girl, I'm going to go to the female prison. All that sort of mismatched stuff. That's what they care about. They don't care about you, lady.
Hey, are we missing?
This is the most annoying report. PBS should really shut down.
Are we missing something here? Are we missing that this report is intended to drive people to voting for Trump?
Well, going back to our basic meta theory.
It's so dumb. It's below any journalistic standard. But if I go to MSN.com, which was the first hit on the bounty, I get this. The first hit, city puts $10,000 bounty of trans people's on trans. It says of. Oh, that's interesting. Wait, it's from LGBTQ Nation. All right, MSN. The city of Odessa, Texas, has placed a $10,000 bounty on any transgender individual who uses bathrooms that align with their gender identity, according to independent journalist Aaron Reed. The bounty is...
Wait, why do you have to go to... It's either in the public record or it isn't.
Well, I tried to find it.
Oh, this sounds like bull crap, well, Dan.
I think it's in this next graph that it gets explained. The bounty itself reads that any person besides local and state government officials may sue a trans person using the restroom that aligns with their gender, with payments including, quote, injunctive relief sufficient to prevent the defendant from violating the provisions of this ordinance, nominal and compensatory damages if the plaintiff has suffered injury or harm from the defendant's conduct, statutory damages in an amount of not less than $10,000 for each violation of this ordinance, and court costs and reasonable attorney's fees. That's a far cry from a bounty. A bounty means...
That's a far cry from a bounty. It's not a bounty at all.
In addition, there are criminal penalties for individuals who use bathrooms that align with their gender identity, which is another way of saying for if you're in the wrong bathroom. The provision states that, quote, a person violating the provisions of this ordinance, it's ordinance for Odessa, it's ordinance, like the camping ban, it's an ordinance, shall be deemed guilty of a Class C misdemeanor and shall be punished by a fine not to exceed $500. And anyone who refuses to use bathroom aligned with what the city perceives as their biological sex, even after being asked to leave by a building owner, then may be guilty of misdemeanor trespassing. This is, as we would say, a storm in a teacup. It's totally, to coin a phrase, it's a trumped up accusation of Odessa,
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah, bullcrap is what you want to
okay,
say.
Okay, well, bullcrap.
To make it simple.
Will be another way of looking at it. So I think that this is intended for more people to vote for Trump.
It's a possibility. They're definitely throwing the wrong stuff at the wall. Well, but the problem is Lopez had to be a sucker then, because she's definitely not going to be part of any scheme to get votes toward Trump. There's no way.
Now she's probably all in on this ideology. You know what?
Ordinance like that would never be passed in any city that has a major league sports team. If anyone has ever been, you know, women flock to the men's bathrooms at major league events.
Because they got to go.
Because they got to go. And the women's lines can be like a mile long and the guys are in and out. We're in and out. And so the ladies are always in the men's bathroom, in the stalls, of course. And
I'm gonna tell you right now that the election results will be on a regular course. The grid will not go down. And no matter who wins, it's going to be a big wet fart. There's not going to be any rioting. None of that's going to happen.
If Trump wins, there will be rioting.
Okay. Mark it down in the book.
We have the two sides of this. We had it last time with the pink pussy hats and immediately asked for impeachment.
That was not a riot. That's not a riot.
Oh.
That was just a bunch of ladies.
Hold on a second. Let me read the phrase then. Massive protests.
Mostly peaceful.
Mostly peaceful protests.
It's going to be a wet fart. Trump wins, wet fart. Everyone cries. People leave for Canada.
You said
again.
Wet fart three times so far.
Yeah, so? I mean,
it seems weird. Are you having trouble? You having digestive
boom,
issues?
Boom, and he's up to 16. Oh, so close.
I'm going to catch up.
By the way, I got a note from Rob, our constitutional lawyer. Spoliation means the destruction of evidence. It's a little more serious, this call that the stenographer's office made. They say it's a destruction of evidence.
Oh, interesting.
That's the kind of producers we have.
Yeah, we have unbelievable. Now that you mention it, I got to read a note from a producer. I get my glasses. There's one of our producers complaining about our coverage. Not in a bad way. John, your recent CIA vocal fry lady, that's the Kennedy woman, yes. Amaryllis.
Yes.
Said some disappointing things about how she classified her correspondence. Her defaults of classification things as never releasable is against the rules and just plain lazy. As a DOD employee, I have to take annual training on how to classify information, including the penalties for doing so incorrectly. We police ourselves and each other on classifying correctly, and we have security sections and who we report to if there are issues. There are lazy and complacent people and maybe the entire organization out there. What the hell, CIA? But we're not all like that. Is defending the bureaucratic state. Well, I told him that, you know, I worked in administrative state, and it seems to me very logical that they would do this.
Allow me to read a boots on the ground report, or better yet, subs in the water. Our producer works at the Naval Nuclear Laboratory as a mechanical engineer. The Naval Nuclear Laboratory develops advanced naval nuclear propulsion technology for the safety and reliability of our Navy submarine and aircraft carrier fleets. It's a cradle-to-grave operation where the design, support, manufacture, installation, refueling, and long-term storage of nuclear reactors takes place. Beautiful subs. We also train the sailor. We also train the sailors who operate our reactors. Say, sailor! The laboratory is run as a government contract for the Department of Energy. So currently I'm employed by the Fluor Marine Propulsion, who was awarded the latest contract. Every email that I send, I have to use the drop-down menu that was spoken about for email classification. However, our system does not have the ability to have a default setting. So for every email, I must select the classification of the subject, the email body, and the attachments independently. We are instructed that we must identify the information correctly. Otherwise, it is called a spill. We are subject to escalating disciplinary process for not following the guidelines, up to termination for intentional and repeated misclassifications. Unlike others that we all know, Hillary, I do my best to follow the rules and secure classified information appropriately, and obviously want to keep my job because, unlike Hillary, I know that I would be reprimanded. However, recently the number of options in the pull-down menu increased dramatically. No lie. There are now 25 options. We get training on the different classifications, but the rules can be quite vague for some of the intermediate classifications. Unless you are routinely working with that level or type of information, I feel myself and other colleagues are often unsure of which classification to use. Most of the information I work with is of the highest level of DOE classification, confidential restricted data, CRD. And I know what words make something CRD. So if I'm sending an email where I'm unsure of the information classification, I don't have time to consult a derivative classifier to confirm. Wow, that's a cool job. I don't want to risk me misclassifying or underclassifying, so I just add the CRD word to avoid reprimand. Want to have lunch? Word. However, if an email is clearly unclassified, like, hey, let's meet up after work, it is easy to select unclassified from the dropdown. So it sounds like the classification of emails in our government sucks balls. It's all dumb. Does that
sound why would there be 25 classifications?
Because it's government. It's dumb. But meanwhile, I can't even get you to use encrypted email.
Why? What difference does it make?
To protect our freedom.
It's not protecting anything.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courtesy in the morning. To you, the man who put the C in, especially say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John C. DeMora.
Hey, good morning, you, Mr. Crane, Mr. Susie, Lord, and Guy, if you need something to want, the dames are nice out there.
Choke out.
All right, 2486, we're above the norm. Above the norm, 2486 is good. It's good to have the trolls in the troll room. Thank you very much, Cotton Gin, for that.
That's actually kind of the norm.
Now, it's either 2400 or it's not.
This is close enough to disagree. Okay, if you round it up to 25, it would be
2500. If I'd say 2500, you'd be like, it's good.
It's not that good.
I'm happy anyone shows up.
It's a miracle, seems to me. It is. We had the big Albany meetup, and we had a few people. It wasn't a big turnout. We got to see Violet again.
I was going to say, did they bring any other children besides Violet?
And yes, there was a couple that came down from Reading.
Nice.
The guy had the whitest teeth I've ever seen in my life.
You haven't seen mine yet.
And his lovely wife, and they had a little, I think she's like a 6 or 9 month old, and she was cute. And yeah, so we had two kids.
You're a regular Joe Biden.
Also, Theodore showed up. So Theo
showed up. Is Mimi in town?
She was supposed to be at the meetup. Oh, she'll be here in a few hours.
Because I happen to know it's her birthday coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow is her birthday. And by the way, since you got the birthday list in front of you.
He already sent me an email. And the email said, could you please put me on the birthday list? I told John, but he'll probably forget.
I didn't forget. Steve should be on the birthday list. I know, he's on the list.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm not that forgetful.
No, you're not. You're not. You're a great guy.
I'm a great guy. Yeah, that's it.
You are. You're a great. What can I say? You're a great guy. I got it. It's no problem. You're a great guy. It's fantastic. We're doing a great show. We're doing a great service for humanity.
It's a public service.
It is. It's a plus service. Just
yes. No agenda plus.
Yeah. So we don't have no agenda plus. No, instead we have producers.
It's all no agenda plus.
That's right. Our producers are all over the world. Like these trolls, trollroom.io, they listen live. And, you know, there's been several articles about the Joe Rogan Trump interview. And here's an example, the Mises, I think you pronounce it Mises. I used to say Mises, but I got corrected. The Mises Institute. Headline, the establishment media is unaware of its growing irrelevance. And they talk about, you know, how big tech has just gone back to censoring. Because if you search for that episode on YouTube, it wouldn't show up in the search results. Gee, I wonder why. So they reluctantly relented, and, you know, Joe was posting direct links to it everywhere. And as we just heard from PBS, I mean, who cares about that? Other than you're trying to send a message, and that message is, and by the way, it's trans abuse as far as I'm concerned. You're abused. It's trans abuse. PBS abused that Aaron Reed person for whatever reason. This is dumb. It's all dumb. People are turning to podcasts.
PBS is really gone. It's amazing when it started. It was the McNeil-Lehrer report. These two old pros came in from the outside and they said, we're going to do it right. Instead of these half hour lousy news shows these networks do, we're going to do one. They talk PBS into doing an hour of news because they could talk a little more than just the normal sound bites.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was good for a while. And then McNeil quit and there, you know, kind of held on there, and then he had to go. And next thing you know, the thing deteriorates into crap.
So, no, instead of that, we're just a podcast. We're a podcast plus operation here where everything is plus. And you can join those trolls. By the way, you can't join in the troll room on PBS. And you should have seen some of the things people were saying when we were playing those clips. Imagine that. Imagine having a big screen scrolling by while you're interviewing someone. Mm-hmm. No. That only happens here. And it's quite a revolutionary format we have. So we built apps around it where you get alerted when the stream goes live. There are many shows who have live. They go live to tape the way I think it always should be. That was a problem in early podcasting. We didn't have any gear. It was hard for, you know, mere mortals to set up a mix minus with your Skype. So everyone was using music mixer boards from Behringer.
That's right. Skype was what the main thing was.
Yeah, but you had to set up a mix minus, so you needed a mixer with two buses. And the minute you talk about that, people, the eyes roll up on their head and they went, let's just record it on each end and we'll put it together in post. And that's when it all went down.
Well, there was a website.
It's called the Double Ender.
That would do it for you.
Oh, really? The Double Ender is what it was called.
They would, you'd send them the two feeds, and then the website was like, you know, was one of those, yeah, we'll do this for you. And it was like, wait a minute, how do we make money doing this? I think that's like,
and if you recall,
why are we doing this?
If you recall, because of processor clock speeds and encoding bit rates, most people would find that if they did an hour-long conversation, they recorded it on each end, they'd sync it up at the beginning, but it would be out of sync within 35 minutes.
Because there's no time codes.
Correct. There's no time codes.
As far as I know, most audio, I mean, with video, it's always been an issue, but you get a system that uses time codes, and you put the time in, as you record it, the time codes are on there, and you have no problem syncing because you have a time code.
But just so you understand, it has nothing to do with the time code. It has to do with the clock speed of the computers and the bitrate encoding of the MP3 file. It will actually be fractions of a second faster or slower without it being audible to the human ear. But over time, it would get out of sync.
Well, whatever the case was, it sucked.
Exactly. So the modern podcast app, which you can find at podcastapps.com, they alert you when we go live. And when we publish the show, not everyone could listen live, of course, when we publish the show, within 90 seconds, you get an alert. Why would you wait on any other legacy app? No reason to. Now, back to the plus part of the No Agenda show. The plus is not behind some streaming paywall. You don't have to, you know, steal someone's, you know, can I borrow your password to listen to No Agenda? You know, you don't have to use VPNs and all kinds of... No, it's there for you. If the show is of any value to you, you send it back. Time, talent, treasure. We love our producers. We have producers everywhere. You just heard two who use classified email systems sending us unclassified information. How cool is that?
I know how classified it is. Well, it's about classification, so thus it is classified.
I don't know if it included any of the words.
I wonder the words, the whatever word. Those are.
The words. It's the words.
I wish they'd send, just send us a list of the words.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Send yeah, I'd like to have a list of the words that whatever, when those words show up, that becomes classified, just a word.
Or maybe one or two.
How does that even work?
I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out. We'll find out. So one way that people give us value, it's three categories: time, talent, treasure. Time and talent go together often, or people organizing meetups, people making websites, running infrastructure, keeping the ball rolling in many ways, giving us boots on the ground report, hitting people in the mouth, getting people to listen, propagating the formula. And then we have the artists, which now these days a lot of prompt jockeys, but we still have the classic artists who do the work. And to prove it, and I'm pretty sure Nico Syme did this non-AI. It doesn't seem like this doesn't look AI, or I should say computer generated.
So it would be, I don't know how AI can even do this. If he has the abilities to generate this image from AI, then he's really good.
This is for episode 1708, which we titled Gaytheist, much to the delight of the Seattle metal band Gaytheist.
Yeah, we didn't know, but now we know. The Gaytheist.
I have not,
that's funny.
I have not heard their musical stylings yet, but I'm sure it's fantastic.
I'm sure it's, yeah.
Nico Syme brought us a whoopee cushion, which was perfect. It had the jack-o'-lantern on it. It had No Agenda, Curry and Dvorak. It was a whoopee cushion, which by itself was just great. I mean, this is a long-lost art of tossing the whoopee cushion. We discussed that. If you didn't hear it, then you should go back and listen to 1708. And Nico Syme did. He won the competition. Now, if we go back and take a look, this was obviously a Halloween episode. It was on Halloween, so people weighed in with a lot of different ideas.
There was art up the butt. It was over a page full. It was a page and I think two lines.
More than a page, yeah. Yeah, it was.
It was a lot of art, and it was hard to, and I think there was at least 10 pieces that we could have picked.
Yes.
And at the meetup, I had a number of people ask me, "You better explain this whoopee cushion."
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there was cheesecake. There were garbage trucks with actually another Nico Syme, garbage trucks with jack-o'-lanterns. There were lots of MAGA garbage cans, which was okay. I mean, we are a little traditionalist in that way. It's like Christmas, we want a Christmas image. Easter, we want an Easter image. And you know, Halloween, I'll use a Halloween image. I remember thinking that I liked Scaramanga's spook kid with the soup pail, which you hated. You're like, I hate that image. I despise that kid, and the soup is dumb. I think that's exactly
well.
What
the kid
said.
The kid doesn't look realistic. He looks like some sort of a I don't know what. And the soup gag is funny, kind of, but you know, no, I didn't like that piece at all.
What's interesting is
I like the vote so hard with the thing on fire, but we talked about that piece too, and the flames are no good.
Have you noticed that Nico Syme has uploaded more, and when it's AI, he puts in parentheses AI?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so whoopee cushion.
That way he can bamboozle us at some point in the future.
He may have already done it. The spike strip by Brad Trainer, right
I
idea.
I like that piece, but it wasn't Halloween-y.
No, it was not Halloween-y at all.
And it was also a bit much.
Yeah. I think that was those are the kind of the ones we discussed. Was there anything else we looked at? No. Panda stuff. Yeah, by the way, Jill Biden was in the panda suit. Did you know that?
That's what they say. But did you ever see her take the head off to show that it was actually Jill Biden, or did they just say it was Jill Biden? And Jill Biden was so irked by everything going on that she was actually at home. So what are you going to come to this thing and put somebody in a panda suit and say it's me?
The combination, whether it was Jill or not, is irrelevant. But the panda, along with our current president biting children and putting their feet in his mouth. There's a thing called panda eyes, which was kind of fashion for a bit in fashion photography. with, you know, black eyes. It was kind of in the anorexia days when that was fashionable, or the anorexic look, I should say. Panda eyes is kind of universally associated with child abuse, you know, black eyes, and particularly creepy child abuse. So the whole thing was creep. What does a panda have to do with Halloween anyway? Why does everybody just accept that?
I found the whole thing to be completely screwy.
Now, a panda with biting babies, oh, I can see that association. I don't understand. Get these people out. Get them out. Get rid of them. Release the Diddy Stein tapes. We want to see who's on.
Well, we're never going to see the Diddy list or the Epstein list or anybody's list until if Trump doesn't get in, because you know this, you know, they... When I saw Cardi B, I have a clip. We play Cardi B.
Wow.
And it's our bonus clip.
He whips out the Cardi B clip.
I believe in every word that comes out of her mouth. She's passionate. She's compassionate. She shows empathy. And most of all, she is not delusional. Yeah. Yeah. Kamala recognized that this country is at risk. That the economy needs to get stronger, that the cost of food and the cost of living is too high. Damn, it's even high for me! I believe her when she says, under her, buying eggs and milk won't break the bank. Because she's gonna pass a ban on price gouging on groceries.
Oh, man.
And she told me that in my face. So she better not lie to me in my face.
There you go. That'll come back. Better not lie to me face. Okay. Great. Celebrity.
Yeah, she's a P. Diddy party goer, obviously, because she had done a video that's been floating around the net saying she'd never in her entire life would ever endorse a candidate.
Yeah, but once it was P. Diddy tapes and what's the term for copious documentation, which supposedly Diddy has. Yeah, well.
I'm very suspicious of all these out of the blue and some of these screwy people that you. What are they even? What? Why don't you just stay out of the? Chloe Moritz came out in support of Kamala for some unknown reason. Then she came out as gay.
Chloe Moritz? I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, if you saw her picture, you've seen her a million times. She's all over the place. She's a heartthrob of the online nerd contingent.
I'm sorry, you mean umpty ump times.
The umpty ump time. She's a heartthrob, and now she's gay. And there she goes. There goes her career. I don't get what she was thinking, but okay, whatever.
We'd like to thank our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1709. You go to noagendadonations.com. You can support the show with any amount you want. That's what the plus stands for. Do whatever you want. We recommend people do sustaining donations, which is any amount, any frequency, set it on automatic. So we'll have a base to work on. We appreciate any amount that anybody sends. Lots of people do $5 a month and they become knights and beyond even. But like Hollywood, we recognize that it's important to thank the people who are the associate executive producers and executive producers. And the way Hollywood works is that's money you put into the project. And so we like to thank our associate executive producers, $200 and above, and we'll read your note. Executive producers, $300 and above, and we'll also read your note. But we thank everybody over $50. And we start with Daniel DeGroff, who is in Broomfield, Colorado. And he comes in with what he wants to be a new number, 777. Which he thinks should be the new 333. And I don't understand this, with the fees. Yes.
I don't think the fees are that much.
Well, then how is it 817.90?
No idea. I don't know how it got to 817.90.
ITM trying to make 777 the new 333. So if you do that and you're supporting us with the fees as well, which is much appreciated, then let us know, because I think 777, which is the angel number.
Number?
It's an angel number. See, this is a nice number. Thanks.
What's another? Can you give us another one?
I don't. 7777.
So it's only seven?
No, there's all kinds of angel numbers. There's websites for that.
I'll look into it.
It's a heavenly number, 777.
Why?
Seven is an important number in scripture.
Why?
Because God said so.
Okay. Well, as long as somebody said, backing you up.
There you go. Big man's backing me up. Thanks for everything you do, says Daniel. I'm currently known as Sir Fusion Auth, but I'd like to change my name to Sir Null Pointer to avoid any potential future legal issues. Okay, Daniel DeGroff, Broomfield, Colorado, you're good to go. We will be changing your title later. Thank you very much.
Is it Sneezik? Sneezik? Sneezik?
Sneezik. I think Sneezik.
Sneezik. He's in a broad... What is it? Brodelbin? Brodelbin, New York? Where's that?
Upstate.
Well, probably. Well, it's not downstate. $500. He now wants to be known as Commodore Sneezik. No jingles, no karma. Just that simple. And by the way, since we got no Commodores, we got a couple left because as grace period Commodores, we're cutting the link goes out of business on election day. So you can't do it after that.
Done. Commodore ships over. Kenneth Kehl, I believe, K-E-H-L, El Sobrante, California, 333.33, our favorite number. Dear John Adam, it's been ages since I've been to a tiki lounge. I had to go back to the back of the closet to find an island-themed shirt. I thoroughly enjoyed the meetup at Trader Vic's. It was great chopping it up with John and the producers. Chopping it up. Go to a meetup near you. Connection is protection. No jingles, no karma. Ken from El Sobrante, a meetup donation. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, El Sobrante. Good.
Now, were these handed to you with notes at the meetup? These gray things?
Yeah, they were put into the spreadsheet.
Nice.
And now we got another meetup provider. This is the wife of Jonathan and the mother of Violet.
Oh, do you have a picture of Violet?
No, well, maybe she should send us one. I didn't have my camera. I wasn't taking pictures at the meetup. But Violet's five now, so she's not a trap or sucker baby anymore.
Does she do any of the no agenda stuff? Like, shut up, slave, any of that stuff?
Not yet.
We're working on Violet.
She's actually, I'm told, a very pleasant little girl. She's really pretty. This is a Baroness Sarah Rupert, husband Jonathan, and the original sucker baby Violet. And they all showed up. And of course, it was Sarah that complained about us doing these in bars all the time. She couldn't bring the baby. Girl now. As you very well know, I have been a producer since the first episode. I don't know how she managed to stick with it. And I started my monthly subscription with a 333 ticket to the mothership. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Now I have hit my husband. When she got married, her husband was a skeptic, didn't think much of the show.
Oh, I kind of remember that.
It's one of those reversals where the wife got the husband into the show.
Yes.
Nice guy. He was there. We think it's time to increase the donation to 666.66 a month.
Wow.
We hope this will buy us enough seats to get our whole family on the mothership if needed.
Yes.
He was a legacy NPR sustainable donor.
Oh, my.
And due to their demise over the past 10 years, he took John's advice and decided to give you guys the cash. Please see the enclosed, see the enclosed $333 as his official de-douching.
So give him a de-douching. He needs a de-douching. Oh, where's my de-doucher?
You've been de-douched.
Special thanks to you, John, and others who moved this meetup to a family-friendly location so Violet could attend. This is truly appreciated. To four more years. And then she's got signatures of everybody. And Violet has...
I saw her signatures.
Violet. And then It's curiously, Jonathan's signature looks like some crazed maniac.
So, yes, for Baroness Sarah and Jonathan and Violet and others who have a mothership boarding pass, you can pick them up at Will Call. They will be there for you.
Will Call. Yes.
Uh-huh. Dame Beth, Tucson, Arizona, Row of Ducks, associate executive producer. And she says, hi, old boys. We're on Tuesday's ballot. Who's on Tuesday's ballot? Is she on the ballot? She might be on the ballot in Tucson, Arizona. Doesn't surprise me. I humbly request some election day karma with a Fletcher 4 more years. Thank you for your courage, Dame Beth, Baroness of Baja, Arizona. If she's on the ballot, then you might want to consider voting for her.
4 more years!
You've got karma.
Eli, the coffee guy in Bensonville, shows up at $211.03. We have a very short list today, by the way.
It is rather short.
I don't know why. I guess the last show sucked. As the farmer's market season coming to a wrap, one of my markets was located next to an early voting location.
Uh-huh.
In the 6 hours of the market, the police had to intervene 3 times on poll goers getting into altercations with fellow voters. That's interesting. In the words of, I got a bunch of TikTok clips that get people like that on there. In the words of Rodney King, can't we all just get along? I say vote with your dollars and elect to drink good coffee.
There you go.
Visit GigawattCoffeeRoasters.com and use the code ITM for 20% off your order. Stay caffeinated, says Eli, the coffee guy.
Yes, and I'll jump to Lawrence Wolf in Oakland, California. $200. It looks like he hand-delivered this with a note, and I have it here in front of me. It's the Crackpot and Buzzkill, care of the best podcast in the universe. Oh, it came to P.O. Box. ITM, gentlemen, enclosed, please find a token of gratitude for all you do. Thank you for your courage. Adios, mofos, Sir Lawrence of Dystopia. He is Kilo Oscar 6, Echo Juliet Echo. 73s, Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie Charlie. No, he's not. Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie Charlie beaconing every 15 minutes on VAR AC 20 meters.
Hey, if a couple can come down from Redding, which is up there in Northern California, up, you can come in from Oakland. Linda Lopatkin, meanwhile, she's in Lakewood, Colorado. She hasn't showed up at a meetup. She's got $200 into the pot, and she requests. Jobs karma, and she says for a faster, more effective job search, visit imagemakersinc.com. That's imagemakersinc with a K. That's your go-to for executive resumes and job search needs. And work with Linda Liu, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes.
Has she changed her copy? It feels like that's
yes. Different. Well, no, she varies it every time. Yes,
because
it
last show was for a resume that gets results, and now
she mostly always says gets results.
Now she's saying for a faster and more effective job search.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And of course, she wants her jobs card.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
And we thank all of these executive and associate executive producers very much for supporting our plus program here. It's umpty ump just for you. And of course, we'll be thanking people $50 and above in our second segment. And remember those sustaining donations. Support the show. I shouldn't mention, these credits are real. They're actual show business credits. You can use them anywhere. They're good forever. And you can even put it on imdb.com if you don't have an account there because you've been a producer in Hollywood. You can open one up. You can be next to George Clooney if your name starts with a C and an L. That's noagendadonations.com. Thank you to our executive and associate executive producers of episode 1709.
Our formula is this. We go out. We hit people in the mouth. Order. Squirrel.
Shut up,
Slade. Squirrel Day. Before you go to your TikTok clips, because I know I see you. I see your TikTok clips, and I'm excited for you. We are at the tail end of
COP 16. COP 16.
Yeah, it's funny. That's not getting any play at all.
No, it's getting some play on the international. I have a good little wrap up here because, I think money will solve the problem is usually what comes out of these. And France 24 gave us a nice wrap up, even though it's not over yet, a nice wrap up report.
For nearly 2 weeks, 96 countries.
With an AI voice. Must mention, there he is again.
For nearly 2 weeks, 96 countries at the United Nations COP 16 Biodiversity Conference have been assessing progress on national plans and financing to halt the decimation of species. As the gathering draws to a close, the Brazilian Environment Minister remains optimistic that negotiations will be fruitful.
The expectation is that we can leave here with decisions that are commensurate with the crisis that biodiversity is facing worldwide.
Nonetheless, there are still many differences of opinion between developing countries and richer nations, especially around financing. Developing nations have called for the creation of a new, more easily accessible fund. This measure has been so far rejected by the European Union, with the French minister saying that the creation of yet another fund would not solve the matter of how countries access such funds. The UN Secretary General warned that money alone is not enough.
What you need is a political priority at government level, a political priority at multilateral institutions level, and a clear commitment of the private sector to be involved.
Parties hope to reach an agreement at the final plenary session on Friday evening. Regardless, participants have agreed on the choice of host for the next UN Biodiversity Conference in 2026. The vote was won by Armenia over Azerbaijan, which is preparing to host the UN's...
I thought there was a climate change meetup.
It is a climate change meetup, but thank you.
He said specifically it's a biodiversity meetup.
They mentioned this three times in the beginning of the report, and thank you for noticing that. This program, this podcast, has been so ahead of this nonsense. This is from COP 16, that we have a jingle that is over a decade old. We knew this would play. We knew biodiversité would play, just as we knew in 2012 that vaccines were the future of pharma. You got to stick with this program, people. It's biodiversité.
It's unbelievable.
You can't just keep saying we need money for climate change. No, we need money for biodiversité. Umpity ump amounts.
How do you, what is that specifically? If somebody wants umpty ump a bunch of money, what do you do with it? This money to make bio, do you put a tree in the ground or do you plant some grass?
You organize more
grizzly bear back in Yellowstone? I mean, what do you specifically do?
You organize more meetups.
Yeah,
more trips. Where were they going? I forgot. Let me see. Where were they going next year? Hold on, it's in the report.
The locations, and on their time off, they'd often go for a run as well.
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. Well, I want to know where were they going.
Hence why it's reached such unfathomable levels.
I'm getting everything wrong now. Here it is. I want to hear where they're going. The new meetup.
Conference in 2026. The vote was won by Armenia over Azerbaijan, which is preparing to host the UN's COP29 climate change conference starting November 10th.
The next meetup's in November.
In 2026.
No, I don't think so.
That's what you said.
Have agreed on the choice of host for the next UN Biodiversity Conference in 2026.
Oh, you're right.
The vote was won by Armenia over Azerbaijan, which is preparing to host the UN's COP29 Climate Change Conference starting November 10th.
No. Armenia is doing the 2026 Biodiversité and the November. I think that's...
No, it's Azerbaijan is doing the November event.
COP. Let's see. COP November. Let's see. It's very confusing. The AI voice is not giving me good information.
Hey, by the way, these are big operations, these companies. Deutsche Welle, France 24. Can't you just grab one of the secretaries or somebody to do the voice? What do you have to use the AI voice for? You got people there that could use the credit and they'd want to do it. They do it for, you know, just what their regular salary is. I'd be glad to jump on a mic.
So I understand now. Armenia is doing the 2026 biodiversité. And in 7 days, 1 hour, 43 minutes and 12 seconds, because I'm looking at the UN climate change website, Azerbaijan is hosting the next meetup. So that's coming up.
I thought this was the meetup you're being discussed as we speak.
Yeah, this is COP16 that's taking place right now in Colombia.
They just dropped a date. It's not in 5 days. It's going to be in a number of years. Here.
No, it says UN Climate Change Conference, Baku, November 2024. 11th of November to 22nd of November 2024. That's what they do. What do you think the money's for?
Are they doing them, what, one back to back to back to back?
Yes, yes. You have the Climate Change Action Summit. You've got the High Level Segment Summit.
This is a waste of money.
No, that's what it's all about. It's not wasting any money for these people. Give us some more money. We're going to fix climate change. Give us some more money so we can do another meetup. And then they get the Guterres that we needed to make a political priority. Shut up. All of you, UN. Oh, man, I pray that if Trump is president, just defund the UN. Just stop it. Let them all pay for their own parties.
Yeah, we paid the bulk of the UN.
All these meetups. It's annoying. All right, make me feel better with some TikTok clips.
Well, I guess I got the pro and con clips.
Let me get into it. All right, thank you.
So this is a guy, a black guy with a hat that I always thought was interesting. It says is a big red MAGA hat, but it says Adam on it.
Hmm. I want to make sure I got this correct. You hate white men unless they're gay. You love black people unless they're conservative. You're for illegal immigration as long as they don't come into your home. You want to ban guns, but you want the government to still have theirs. You hate capitalism, but you expect these corporations to change their logo for Pride Month. You hated slavery, so you hate the party that was formed to abolish the slaves. You hated slavery, but you align with the party that was for keeping slaves. You don't recognize two genders unless you're talking about their hormones. You hate American values, but yet you want to still live here. Your party controls the House, the Senate, and the presidency, but it's everyone else's fault. You hated the Trump administration, but you're concerned for Mike Pence's life. You say black people can't be racist, but Candace Owens, Thomas Sowell, and Larry Elder are white supremacists. You want to ban guns to save children, but keep abortion to murder them. Comment if I missed anything.
Did you smash that like button?
Smash the like button. That brings me to this clip, which is the bonus clip, which says Dunny instead of funny. But play this. This is something that I thought was amusing. And this is classic. The Democrats have no sense of humor clip.
I put a lawn sign in my front yard, and I don't think I should be subjected to these fraudulent mailers.
When this 50-year-old Shrewsbury woman put up a Harris wall sign in front of her home, she just wanted to show her support. She never imagined she would be subjected to a campaign dirty trick.
It really creeped me out.
She was dismayed when the mail arrived this week, and she received this postcard. It purports to be from the Harris campaign, thanking her for putting up a sign and alerting her a family from Nicaragua would be moving into her home.
That's when I realized it was an obvious attempt to try to either scare me or rage bait me and make me upset.
It's absolutely a scare tactic.
That was hilarious. I love that. I love that one.
Scare tactic. Oh, yeah. Some joker.
It's a great idea. It's like
I thought it was genius.
It's like those men on the street, like, oh, you know, would you take an immigrant into your home? And then they say, yes, of course I would. And they say, well, here's Muhammad.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't actually have room right now.
Let's go to the TikTok clip. This is a dude for Harris literally crying.
I've never felt this much hope before for America, this proud before of America. And I don't think people realize how historic this moment truly is and where this speech will go down in history. It will go down with Kennedy. It will go down with Martin Luther King. And we really don't understand at this moment how historic times we live in because we're kind of stuck in it. We just want to get through this election. But God, or just a few days out from the election, it feels so good to feel so hopeful. It's genius because it's clear one campaign is trying to bring people together and the other campaign is trying to tear people apart. In moments in history where we have just felt fear and frustration and depression, to feel hope, to feel like we are about to turn the page, to feel like she spoke to every voter out there and said, like, I really think she changed some hearts and minds today. I mean, these last few years have been nothing but like darkness and dark period of history. And for her to get this opportunity, for Biden to drop out, her to get this opportunity, she had to do everything perfect. She couldn't make any mistakes, especially as a woman of color. And she crushed the debate. She's crushed his speech now. And she has not fumbled the ball once right before the election. And you can see that Donald Trump just fumbled with his speech at Madison Square Garden. So I have to thank her, too, because like she's done everything she's needed to do to win. The only thing now is us as Americans, we have to go out and vote. And like, I'm in California. If you haven't voted in California, go vote. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Get them to watch the speech, especially if they're on the other side, because I genuinely think that this speech here will go down in history with some of the greatest speeches we've ever had. So, and to Kamala Harris, I just really appreciate everything. Thank you for not fumbling the ball. Thank you for being such a great, powerful candidate. And yeah, I'm crying, all right? But to feel genuine hope like this, just out from the election, as opposed to fear, division, divisiveness, fear, I appreciate very much.
Well, that was a jip. You can't hear that he's crying.
Yeah, his tears are coming down his eyes.
No, you've
okay. Well, let's go to someone who is crying.
That was a mistake because you looked at the clip and it looked great in video. No,
well, he admitted he was crying, so that's a plus.
Yeah, but he didn't even go, I'm crying. He wasn't
okay. Well, let's go now. This one, by the way, this next clip is not safe for work. Cover your children's ears. This is a woman. This is an example of the great bringing together idea of Kamala Harris, as opposed to the divisiveness of Trump. And this is the psycho chick, and she is crying.
I hate you, you fucking orange pumpkin. You just caused me one of the most important people in my life, my dad. Donald Trump, I hate you. You will never be president again. You bastard, you caused me, my dad. My dad was the most important person in the world to me, but now his colors are finally out. What? I hate you, you fucking orange pumpkin bitch. I hate you, you stupid, stupid, failed fucking businessman. You fucking sickened me. You and all of your fucking Trump supporters. Fuck you.
Now, what did Trump do to her dad?
Her dad's going to vote for Trump. And I guess he told his daughter, who's nuts.
Well, this is sad, John. I don't even find it funny. I find it very sad that people are this afflicted.
There was definitely an affliction. She should be locked up. You're right.
No. She needs deprogramming from
mainstream media,
and clips of mainstream media on social media. She should get rid of get a flip phone. You know, that's how we start. She needs some love. She needs some compassion.
Yeah, I don't have her email for you, so you can't help her.
Oh, you know.
Here's what bothers me about these people. Why are you going on TikTok expressing yourself like this? What does it accomplish?
yeah. Listen, look, that's the whole point, is because of TikTok that she is in this state of mind. It's a loop. It's a loop. You do that and then you get, oh, I'm so sure. It's a loop. This is, all right, this is okay. Why social media is bad.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue that. So let's go. And so is the phone. And let's go to this black woman who is.
Oh, I saw her. She's great.
With the she's got a weird Trump. Okay, there
and
it
we're
goes.
Even 17 up, everybody.
She has
beautiful.
A Trump hat on.
Yes.
That has hair coming out of the top of it. Red hair.
This is great.
I don't know where she got this hat, but this I want one.
Is this the one who's wearing the bag?
And she is wearing a bag.
So I just went and voted right around the corner from my house here in California. And I pull up, I take my little hat off, but I don't take my garbage bag off.
Yes.
Now.
Finally.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I am in the most liberalist state, probably out the whole damn union, okay? California is pretty blue here, okay? Why everybody showing up in their trash bags? The lady was like, I guess you're not going to tell me why you have a trash bag on either, huh? And I looked at her, and I looked at everybody, and everybody looked at me like, you better not say nothing. I ain't saying nothing. You going to have to Google it, lady, why we all wearing trash bags. This is why we wear trash bags.
So I'm detecting a trend here, and I need to make a comment. You have watched so much TikTok that you are making meta segments about TikTok videos, but you've seen them. If you haven't seen the lady with the trash bag, the gag isn't as funny. If you don't see the guy with tears running down his face, it's not as funny. You should do a TikTok series about TikTok videos. Let's get a producer out to John.
Libs of TikTok is already doing this,
right? So, but it misses the mark. I feel if I saw this one and I didn't clip it because, like, well, you can't see the bag. She's wearing a trash bag, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and the gag at the end where she puts the hat back on.
Yeah, but you don't see that on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. This is the problem we should do. We should only be video podcasting.
Yeah, so that we...
You made that point earlier that the all podcast should be video.
With ads.
With ads.
All right. You're gonna take it home now. You're going to bring it home.
Let's go with the We'll Never Sleep talk clip.
We'll never sleep with a man who voted for Donald Trump. The vote for him is a vote against my rights as a woman to protect myself and make decisions about my body. It means he does not respect me as a woman or think that my life and my choices have value. Women know who you're voting for and know who you're sleeping with.
Okay. Wasn't planning
my,
on
my,
it.
My, me. There's a lot. These guys are very self-centered.
Yeah. Yes.
And then, of course, we have, well, this is the final one. We can do one more. This is the demon pronouns. Now, this one is a TikTok video. You're dead right about you should see the video here, because this is some screwy non-binary couple. And it's overlaid with there's a bunch of these, by the way, out there with a black guy. Never says a word. He's just mugging.
This is what you should do. You should do this kind of format where they play, you know, the nutty TikTok video in the back, and you're just in the front of it, just hamming it up and making faces. This is dressed as the tech grouch. I'm telling you, it's a guaranteed hit.
Oh, the tech grouch is as the, yeah. Well, that's what this guy's doing. He's going, what? You can just, he's not saying anything, though, and it makes it very funny. But the clip itself is actually quite good. This is using the pronoun demon. Now, what's wrong with these people?
I don't know.
My name's Jasper. I use they at pronouns.
Hi, my name is Liana. I use they demon pronouns.
This video is how to use our pronouns. So Liana uses they them pronouns and demon pronouns. So the first sentence would be, Liana is my partner. They are cute and I am theirs. I love them very much and I hope they love themselves too. For the demon pronouns, it would be, Liana is my partner, Deem is cute, and I belong to Deem. I love Demon very much, and I hope Deem loves Demon's self, too. Then interchanging the two would be, Liana is my partner, They are cute, and I am Demon. I love Demon very much, and I hope they love Demon self too.
Okay, no. I rest my case on the lack of video.
Okay, now that you mentioned it, I take you seriously with some of your producer chops.
Mm-hmm.
And I think bringing back the Tech Grouch on TikTok, yes. I can get a hold of Carlos,
yes,
who used to produce this. I think the Tech Grouch, because bring back the Tech Grouch. Well, I think about it every so often, and I say, you know, that material's, you know, it was good in its day, and it was hard to do that. I can't do it now. I don't have the. It's the materials would be so different, but using it as a foil against the TikToks that are out there as a kind of a meta.
Yes, you would make umpity ump views.
I would make umpty ump 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 the ump umps.
Of the ump, you'd be umpity ump.
It would be. It's a very. It's one of your best ideas.
Watch it dirty, leave it tough on that. The only good phone's a landline, and the phone should be made out of Bakelite.
There you go, the Tech Grouch, we're reviving him. The Tech Grouch, Lazarus, he will live again. I'm excited. Call Carlos. I'm telling you, this is a guaranteed hit, and you can become part of the TikTok ecosystem.
Which I've always wanted to be part of before they shut it down.
Speaking of umpty ump.
Cammy Knight's here in the studio. Good evening to you, Cammy. Google is facing its heftiest fine yet.
That's right. It's a number that's difficult to say or even conceive.
Have a go.
It's so high. It's Russia that's fining Google the equivalent of $20 decillion. That's 20 billion trillion trillion and involves a lot of zeros. 34 to be exact, a sum much greater than the size of the world's total GDP. The gargantuan amount stems from Google's refusal to pay fines for blocking pro-Russian channels on YouTube. State news agency TASS says the fine doubles every day it's not paid, hence why it's reached such unfathomable levels. Even the Kremlin spokesperson struggles with the figure and says it's largely symbolic, but that Google should take it seriously nonetheless.
$20 decillion. I didn't even know that number existed. Which, of course, is what the whole report is about. No one cares
I'm glad you got this clip because I saw it too, and I didn't clip it.
Because you were too busy. Even
you didn't get my clips. We only overlapped on one series.
You were too busy watching TikTok. I'm concerned.
Oh, please.
Back to legacy media, M5M falling apart.
I was mostly watching during the last week, watching the World Series, and the Yankees have their asses handed to them by the Dodgers. Hello.
I'm not old enough to care.
Yeah, no, you're,
gotcha.
I'm trying to think.
I gotcha. KTLA, Channel 5 in Los Angeles, has a report. It's bad if you're in mainstream.
Comcast, the largest cable company in America. Well, for a while, it was a sweet deal for them to own TV stations, because if you're a cable company, you can put them on everyone's cable plan and make them pay for it, whether they want to watch them or not. That's a good deal. But in the age of streaming, maybe not so much. And what's very interesting here is that on their earnings call today, the president of Comcast, Mike Cavanaugh, came out and said that the company is thinking about spinning off its TV assets into a separate company. Now, what that means is things like MSNBC, CNBC, Bravo, USA, Sci-Fi, those would all be moved to this other company. But the main company, Comcast, would maintain NBC Universal and obviously the network and the movie studio of the same name, and also the theme parks. But the key thing about this is that these TV networks that were once viewed as hugely profitable for Comcast are now, well, an albatross around their neck, because in the age of streaming, you can't force channels down people's throats anymore like you used to be able to. Now there's a Darwinian struggle out there to try and get channels through, and that's very difficult. So what Comcast is clearly thinking about doing here is spinning away all these once lucrative TV channels so they're not overhanging the parent company anymore. And that speaks volumes about the current status of the TV world.
And the reason is people are too interested in looking at nut jobs on TikTok. That's the level. That's it. And you know,
it's all it takes.
You know what they're going to call that new company? Plus.
No, just plus.
Plus. Yeah, just call it
plus. Yeah, just plus.
Plus.
Well, this is a very interesting development that is has got everybody shook.
Yeah.
Especially on MSNBC, because they all expect, you know, they're going to
get fired, get canned. Adios, mofos.
I think most of them should be fired and canned. This stuff is redundant.
But look at what's happening. They are paying. I just look at some of those panels. There must be $10 million a year sitting on the panels. And then Joe Rogan's in the studio with Jamie. And you know, it's 60, 70 million views with Trump, whatever that means. You know, he's got the lineup. He's got J.D. Vance, and then he's got Fetterman, who's crazy. Kamala, who won't come. You know, it's like all eyes on Rogan. And it's interesting to watch. People are sitting there for the number one thing you do in television. Like, stay tuned. Don't go away. Coming up. Here's a tease. Oh, but be careful. You don't want to go anywhere. And Rogan's like, let's talk for 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. Yak, yak, yak.
And it's great. So
you know what's funny about Rogan's show and ours in the same vein is that when I was at, we're working at Pod Show Medio, the thing was, oh, you got to do 5 minutes. No, maximum 5 minutes. Short format. What That's was right. it called? Short something.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. No, yeah. You're right. I'm saying I'm affirming.
No, I know, but there was a term for it. Short form.
Short form video. Yeah, it's the latest thing all the kids talking about. That was after Juiced. Oh, Juiced. Everybody's got to be like Juiced.
Juiced. That Juiced seems to stick in your craw.
Yeah, piss me off because we had a meeting with Kleiner Perkins and we're sitting there. And who's the woman who later sued Kleiner? Sued one or two of the partners for sexual harassment? Yeah, that
Chinese woman, right?
Yeah. She was sitting there as a partner in the meeting, the big conference table. Yeah, you know, podcasts is, it's, you know, it's really morphing. Can you be more like Juiced?
She said that?
Oh, yeah.
Juiced?
Yeah. They all had Juiced.
You know, I think probably 90% of our audience doesn't remember or even know about Juiced.
J-O-O-S-T. Right. Also the name of Colin Juiced. Or it's Dutch for Yoast. And because the guys who started Skype, who then did Juiced, we're Dutch.
Yeah. Ah. And yeah, it was I wrote a whole column on it. I'd have to go back and review the column because I can't even remember. And I should be able to, what the problem with it was, except for the fact that it was no good. That's all I remember.
You know, here's a story for you. I do not have, I'm looking for your, Juiced blog? No. So it's 2000, end of 99, 2000. I'm back in Europe, in the Netherlands. I'm working on some video stuff with people. Actually, kind of an early YouTube, funny enough. another billion-dollar idea I didn't cash in on. Not saying that I invented YouTube, but we were doing stuff like that. And there were these two guys in this who were in this apartment in Amsterdam. And they're working on this thing, and they said, and you know, we met at some hacker. Yeah, I was around kind of a little hacker community. And, you know, and when I say hacking, like hacking code, putting stuff together, trying to figure out what we're doing. We had a company called Jambi, Just Anarchy Made by You. So that was the whole idea. Was you? Yeah, I know
a pun.
Yes. Yeah. Went nowhere. A whole bunch of issues. And these two guys were like showing me this thing. It was this phone telephone conferencing thing, and I had a distinct opportunity to, and I had money too, which I was spending on helicopters and castles and dumb stuff. I had an opportunity to invest in this company, which they called, what was it called? Oh yeah, Skype.
Oh really?
Yeah. And so now I'm doing a podcast with you.
Wow, that's a great fall from grace. Serves you right.
What did they sell that for? $3 billion to Microsoft?
That's okay. You would have blown it on helicopters.
You can buy a lot of helicopters for that kind of money. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's like poor Ed Iacobucci was the guy who invented. He had some product that Microsoft bought and made him rich. He was worth $500
million. Oh.
And he blew the whole thing up on jet leasing.
Oh, That's
he
actually
felt how- that, you know, he should put all his money in. And he lost you lost a lot, but he lost $500 million, and everyone's just still, and poor guy died prematurely after that.
Oh, well,
but nice guy too. I knew him.
Well, so, okay. This is interesting. You bring this up. So, same period. And, so I had the castle in Belgium, and my business partner, who turned out to have a fake name and was wanted by the Scotland Yard for grand theft, and larceny and smuggling MDMA, which the whole company failed. We had a data center called Data Barn right there on the Amsterdam Internet Exchange. I mean, we were set up for many things way too early. And he had sold his company Euronet to France Telecom. So we both had cash. We're like, hey, let's go spend the money. And so the idea was, because he also had a house in Belgium, we would start a fractional ownership helicopter company, so that we could then fly from Amsterdam to Belgium in, 25 minutes versus 2 hours by car. And I landed, literally had a helipad at the castle. And so we bought an Augusta 109 E-Power twin turbine, 6-passenger helicopter, had another one on order. And it's with fractional, then people buy shares and they get an X number of hours to use it. The whole idea was we would then be able to use our hours for free because other people were buying into this company. And we actually had a couple people getting ready to buy. And then 9/11 happened. And nobody wanted to fly anywhere. So then my partner...
Good timing.
Oh, it gets better. So then this is a good story. Then my partner sent an email, and we said we had three companies, Data Barn, Jambi, and Rotorjet, which was that you can still, it's hard to find kind of, if you look for Rotorjet in Google Images, we had female pilots, Marine pilots, we had cool uniforms for them. It was a slick operation. It was really fun. And they were, ex-military, ex-Marines. And so then he decides to send an email one morning, subject line, living a lie. And wherein he says this whole, he sent it to investors, bankers, all of our customers. So everything falls. And then he runs away to Cambodia, where he eventually dies. We think, we don't know.
Wait, he sent an email out confessing to all his sins?
Yes.
Why?
Good question. And so he left me holding a big bag. That's where all my money went. So, I closed everything down. I paid everybody off. Then the Dutch IRS was like, you committed fraud. I had to fight that. They seized half of the house. It was a mess. That's what
sounds like a nightmare.
That's why I wound up doing a reality television show, because my bank accounts were frozen. And I produced it myself with like two people on staff. And I think we got enough money for me to get by. So we did it. We did 12 episode, one season of a reality show. Anyway, so the helicopter company, so that didn't work. But I still had some customers who wanted to fly. So I got rid of the Augusta. We sent that off to Brazil, huge loss on that, of course. And got a Eurocopter 120, which is 4-passenger with one pilot, 3 in the back and then 1 passenger in the right-hand seat. And, I had slogans, I had marketing, we had deadheads that we were selling for very cheap, and people kind of dug it. And then this former Marine pilot, she gets a fear of flying while flying.
What?
Oh, yeah. So with customers.
Well, no wonder you found Jesus.
Well, it's interesting you say that. So now I'm like, no, she lands okay. And then I literally look at him and say, okay, God, I guess you don't want me to have a helicopter company, but
I guess not.
I guess not. But I did do two things. So one, around that time, I think it was New Year's Eve 2000. Now, so this is before the 9/11 thing, and we had the helicopter company. And so we always had to land at Schiphol Airport because there was no heliport anywhere in the Amsterdam area. there was a horrendous fire in Volendam where I think 60 kids burned to death. It was in a nightclub. It was a horrible, horrible disaster on New Year's Eve. They were trapped. They had to take all these kids to the burn unit, which is up in the north of the Netherlands. And they have Lifeline helicopters on top of the hospital, who by law were not allowed to take off after 7 p.m. So they had to drive these kids 2.5 hours to the burn hospital. So I said, that's it. I'm building a heliport. And the first people who were there, and you can use it for free, is the Lifeline helicopters. So, and this is just crazy money time. There was a windmill, one of these bogus windmills right in the flight path of where we wanted this heliport. I paid 100,000 euros to have it moved so that we could have this heliport installed. Long story short, that all falls apart. The whole company falls apart. I sell the heliport for 1 euro to Heli Holland so it wouldn't go away. It's still in operation today. It's still used for Lifeline flights. But I like the flying so much, that's when I learned how to fly myself. And that's how I started with helicopters, learning how to fly helicopters. And so here I am doing a podcast with you.
Yeah, well, luckily you're not, yeah.
Luckily what?
You're not doing the financing.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab. Yeah, on No Agenda.
In the morning. Yeah, and I will say I've never felt better in my life in the past 17 years. I love what we do. I love doing the show with you.
I love my truck.
I don't have a truck anymore. I love doing the show. And I love that we've been able to keep doing it. And that is thanks to our producers. We thanked our executive and associate executive producers earlier. This is my livelihood. Absolutely. The podcast index, just to be sure, there's no money, zero. Adam and Dave take zero money. It's all value for value just to keep the databases running. So I appreciate it that our producers bless us so much that we can pay the bills and continue to do that. For at least 4 more years, we hope. It would be nice to do it.
And I want to mention something before after we break from this list. I do have one more clip I have to play to get it out of the way, yeah, which is course. The Boeing update, since we reported that strike thing was over. And I have new information.
Negotiations have resumed between Boeing and its striking machinists union. NPR's Joel Rose reports the sides were back at the bargaining table yesterday with the strike in its seventh week.
The machinists union, representing some 33,000 striking workers, said it had a, quote, productive face-to-face meeting with Boeing. The union said those talks were held with the assistance of Acting Secretary of Labor Julie Hsu. The work stoppage has crippled production at Boeing's airplane factories in the Pacific Northwest for more than 7 weeks. The financial impact on the company and its suppliers is mounting, although Boeing announced this week that it will raise billions of dollars by selling stock and other securities to shore up its balance sheet. The two sides have gotten closer on wages, but key issues, including retirement benefits, remain.
Okay.
So, this is the best they can do for reporting this. Mimi dug up all the real stories, and they're only played up in the Pacific Northwest. Because it never made sense to me that these guys are on strike like this because they're getting a good offer.
Mm-hmm.
What was happened years ago when they got a raise, years ago, Boeing promised them, and this reminds me of James Baker promising Russia, we're not going to move NATO.
You're right.
We're not going to go another inch east. Lies. Boeing told its employees, hey, we're going to give you a raise in exchange for the fact we're going to have to pull your retirement benefit, the retirement
right,
stuff.
Right. They got rid of that.
Got to go away. And they and the counter was, wait a minute. Okay, we'll do that deal. We'll go along with the program, but you can't move the operations out of the Seattle area to the southern states. And Boeing said, okay. No more retirement benefits. You get a big raise, and we're going to stay here. And within a few years, they opened up a new facility. It was South Carolina or North Carolina, one of those states.
South Carolina, yeah. It's a Lindsey Graham state.
Yeah, they put a big operation there. And they said, wait a minute. That's what you promised not to do that. And that has been the sticking point with this negotiation, and it's not being reported by the mainstream.
Well, of course not. They're too busy holding on to their jobs for dear life. They're getting put into a special little company that they can pull the rug on at any moment. They're dead. They're done. It's done, Jim. They're dead. What are they going to report on that?
He's dead, Jim.
Exactly. John, please, if you don't mind, thank our producers $50 and above for their support of the show.
Yeah, we have a few, very few, unfortunately. But Baron Latican leads us off in Houston, Texas, $100. And John Robinet comes in with $100. The Duke of San Francisco, who was at the meetup, $100. And he, I have to ask him if he's a total Duke, because if it's true, I never thought about this, we don't have a jingle for him.
Foley?
I'm going to have to ask him what is his status. Is he Archduke?
Wait, I think we do have a jingle.
For the Duke of San Francisco?
Is that Foley?
No.
He's the Duke of
Silicon Valley or Silicon Valley, or yes. California.
Yeah,
or something.
He's going to correct me on it, I'm sure.
Well, we'll find out.
Who is the Duke of San Francisco?
The Duke of San Francisco is Ben. I don't know if he wants his last name revealed, but he's a dude named Ben. Ben.
Ask him what he wants. Does he want to be?
I'm going
to
ask him about.
I'll make sure we get the jingle.
Yeah, if he's a full Duke, I'm not. We just have been taking him for granted. He's always donating.
Okay,
so it's quite possible.
I bet he is. I'm sure he is a Duke.
Anyway, he was at the meeting. He comes to all the meetups. He's a good guy.
Good.
Anyway, onward with Angela Garcia. She's also in San Francisco with $100. Thank you for your courage. Robert Montoya in Pleasant Hill, California, $100. Angela was at the meetup, I believe. That was Angela.
Looks like it.
Yeah, she comes to all the meetups, too.
Yeah, she's coming for you,
Kevin
babe.
McLaughlin. We have a lot of regulars. Mm-hmm. Kevin McLaughlin, this Steve, Crazy Steve orchestrates this. He does a great job. Although this time I didn't get much in the way of free wine except from Steve himself. Not that I'm complaining. I don't need wine. Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina, 8008. There he is. The Duke of Luna. And he's not listed for anything here.
Duke of Luna and lover of America.
Lover of American boobs.
Yeah.
Or American boobs. Gordon Walton in Austin, Texas, right down the street from you, 6017167.
Hold on a second. He says that's the Motorola 68, so 6800 processor plus fees, and is credited to his son John's upcoming baronet title. Gordon, by the way, speaking of regulars, is a regular. He's the first meetup before I lived in Austin. The meetup that made me move to Austin because I loved it so much, Gordon drove me around. He is way up the peerage ladder. I'm afraid he may be Duke as well. But we just call him, hey, Gordon. Hey, Gordo. Sir Gordo. Thank you, Gordo.
And he named it for the Motorola 6800 processor, and he says he was an assembly programmer. Assembly language.
Yeah, seems right.
Which is what the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't do it anymore. I'm sure it's tedious.
No, he retired from that lucrative job.
Probably, yeah. Uh-huh. Mark Hardwick, another Texan. He's in Aledo. 6006, small boobs. Brian Furley, 515510. Heather Harper in Lubbock, Texas. Another Texan, 5333. John Bassano in Madison, Alabama, 5272. John Sir Luke in London, UK, 52. He's got called out in the last meetup report.
He says he'll be there. He'll be there at the next one. He's Sir Luke, the Earl of London in the Southeast.
I think I met him, maybe. Christian Grulish in Winter Haven, Florida, 5150.
Yes, Sir Loin of Winter Haven.
He's got a birthday. Billy Bones in Powell, Tennessee, 5105.
He gets a title upgrade, the proper name on his paperwork. He would henceforth like to be known as Commodore Baron Bones, the Knight of Twin Peaks. And we will make that happen momentarily.
Sir Montauk in Fremont, California, 5005. And the rest of these people are $50 donors, just names and locations. I'm going to give you them one after the other, starting with Jordan Hoino in Salem, Oregon, and here's a nighting note you have to read.
Yes, hello, John Adam. Really glad to make this donation today as it marks an important milestone. Knighthood. I really appreciate everything you do for the world, helping keep people's sanity intact. I'd like my knight name to be Sir Hoino of the Mid-Willamette Valley and would like eggnog for the round table. Thank you guys again. Sincerely, Jordan Hoino, soon to be Sir Hoino.
BB in Bluegrass, Iowa. Jennifer Prebanik, I guess. Prebanik, and she's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
As Alexander Pasco in Milton, Ontario, Canada needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Foster Birch in New York City. Daniel LeBoy, Sir Daniel in Bath, Michigan. Matt Frazee in St. John's, Florida. James Sharameta in Napanock, New York. Jacob Martinez in El Monte, California. Alex Wenta in Manchester, New Hampshire. And last on our very short list of a total of 34 people, including executive producers. I don't know what happened, but we had a very lousy turnout here for today's show. Leslie Walker, though, she's there for us in Roseburg, Oregon. And you are my go-to for all information that's relative. Or relevant. Yeah, we agree with that. We're a public service podcast.
And we're plus.
And a plus.
Thank you to these producers. Also, thank you to everyone who came in under $50 for reasons of anonymity and, of course, the sustaining donors. Any amount, any frequency, you make it up yourself by going to noagendadonations.com. I did want to read one note from one of our producers, Drone Dork Will, who is my go-to for all things drone-related. He really knows everything. It's a sad note, but I wanted to share. He asked me to share this, and he asked me if it would be okay. I said, I think we should. I've had some sad news and just some advice, hopefully to pass on to your fellow producers. Also just need to do anything to feel different right now, and No Agenda is a safe space for me. My father, William Nelson Chambers III, passed away last Saturday. I shared the same name, but I am the fourth. He served the United States Air Force during Vietnam as security patrol for our plane stationed there. We can all thank him for his service. He had a stroke a few years back and never fully recovered and became very bitter and honestly just not the dad that I remember. The last time I saw him, he told me to leave his house because I voted for Trump. I even tried to explain why. No new wars, anti-war. At the time, he spouted off the common talking points we hear from CNN and MSNBC about Trump hating veterans. I don't want the same thing that happened to my dad and gave him severe PTSD that I grew up around. He was just not the same person and clearly propagandized. I hold none of this against him, and I know he loved me and was also proud of everything I do. I tried many times to contact him and never got a response. So please, producers, listeners, haters, everybody, don't let petty shit go to the grave and try your hardest to look past the political divide. I'm praying for my father. I know he's found peace. None of the political bullcrap means anything. Family is family. And I think that's true. And I'm glad that he passed that message on to us. On that downer.
Really?
Neuroscience news, big news reporting about the amygdala. And we all know that amygdala size matters. Turns out, check this out. Treating anxiety, depression, other disorders may depend on the amygdala, a part of the brain that controls strong emotional reactions, especially fear. But a deep understanding of this structure has been lacking. Now, scientists at the University of California, Davis have identified new clusters of cells with differing patterns of gene expression in the amygdala of humans and non-human primates. As it turns out, it's not the size that matters. It is the genes in this cluster of the amygdala that determine how fearful you will or will not be. And this is big news in the scientific community. More importantly, they're probably going to come out with some vaccine for it from Moderna.
Oh,
we're looking forward to that.
I got one then. This research paper just came out and indicated that people who have starting to rely on their navigator on their phone or their car instead of just driving around like they should normally.
Become disoriented in life?
No, it's the same elements in the brain that account for memory.
What?
So as you weaken that segment of the brain, which allows you to get from point A to point B without getting lost, because you do it a lot, it hurts your ability to remember anything.
I believe this. I think that's completely true. I mean, Prevagen be damned. This is the ticket, people.
Put the phone in a drawer.
Thank you very much, producers. We appreciate all of you. And again, to our executive and associate executive producers, and you can support us. Support the show. Go to noagendadonations.com. It's a birthday, birthday. She didn't make the meetup, but she's celebrating with the family. We're very happy to say happy birthday to Mimi Smith-Dvorak, celebrating her birthday tomorrow, along with Sir Recalcitrant Crazy Steve II. And we also say happy birthday to Sir Loin of Winterhaven. That's on behalf of Christian Grulich. And that's it. Happy birthday, everybody, from the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday. Title changes. Number of people have emailed me. It's always kind of like that random number theory. They say, you've ruined David Bowie's changes for me. All I can hear is title changes. Well, that's too bad. And it reminds you, you need to donate. Because a title change comes with more donations. And Commodore Sir Bones, the Knight of Twin Peaks, will be known as Commodore Baron Bones, the Knight of Twin Peaks, thanks to additional support for the No Agenda Show. We appreciate that very much. Let's bring them out, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring out our Commodores. It's only two left. Remember, it all ends on Election Day. Time to bring them out. We welcome Commodore Daniel DeGroff Broomfield and Commodore Tom Sneezik. Commodores arriving. Beautiful. One layaway night from Silent Ice Cream. In the morning, gentlemen, I wish to be henceforth known as Sir Silent Ice Cream, Knight of the Nuclear Tumbleweeds. Can only wonder what he does. I would request cheeseburgers and espressos to be provided at the glorious round table. Thank you for the 17 years of sanity, and you will be knighted. Well, right now, in fact, we have two of them. So if you can bring out a little knighting blade.
There you go. Nice. I got a biggie.
It's got a big one. You heard it here first. Silent Ice Cream and Jordan Hoyno. Gentlemen, step up on the podium. Both of you support the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. Therefore, I'm very proud to pronounce the KD as Sir Silent Ice Cream, Knight of the Nuclear Tumbleweeds, and Sir Hino of the Mid Willamette Valley. For you, by request, we have Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, along with cheeseburgers and espresso and some eggnog. Add to that the Rubenesque Woman and Rosé, the Geisha and Sake, the Vodka Manila, the Bong Hits and Bourbon, the Sparkling Cider and Escorts, the Ginger Ale and Gerbils, the Breast Milk and Pablum, the Beer and the Blunts, and of course we have the Mutton and the Mead. All here at the round table for you, so go to noagendarings.com. That is also for our Commodores, and if you have a Commodore ship but have not done this yet, go to noagendarings.com to let us know where to send your Commodore title to and what title you want on it. For the rings for our brand new knights, we need a ring size. There's a ring sizing guide right there, and it comes as a signet ring with wax to seal your important correspondence and, as always, a certificate of authenticity. Thank you all very much for supporting us once again here at the No Agenda Show.
No Agenda Meetup.
Yeah, baby, the party is on. Remember, No Agenda producers are your first responders in an emergency. There's no joke about that. People have noticed it, and that's why they continue to go to these meetups. We have a report. This one, I believe, is... Where'd this one come from? I had to chop this one up. Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh.
In the morning, John Adam, Sir Christopher from the Pittsburgh meetup. We had a great time. We're going to pass the phone around.
This is Joel. In the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning. James here.
In the morning. I'm not the spook.
In the morning. This is Jen of the subs of the Under the Water. I'm here with my douchebag husband, dude named Ben. otherwise known as Brian with a Y. It was a great time. We give great thanks to Christopher for pulling this together. It's a good time here in the Pittsburgh. Thank you all for keeping us sane.
In the morning, it's Allison here.
In the morning, Steeler, Commodore of the Ohio River. Have a good one, guys.
In the morning!
Ah, thank you, Pittsburgh. Now we go over to Sir Strack. He's our knight. He's more than a knight now in Central Jersey.
Sir R. Daniels here at the
Sir R. Daniels. There you go. Sorry about that, Sir R. Daniels.
Sir R. Daniels here at the Garden State Distillery in Toms River, New Jersey, at Jersey. Our Central Jersey meetup. We drink and we know things. I do have an identity crisis. I'm a Viscount and a Commodore. Am I VC? Am I Viscount R. Daniels? Am I Commodore R. Daniels? Not sure.
Kamala, John and Adam, this is karaoke. We are here celebrating the life of Peanut and Fred.
Good morning, John and Adam. Taking a break from being terminally online to get some real-life amygdala shrinkage.
This is Shirley Mofo, relocated to New Jersey and loving it. The force is strong here in the morning.
This is Kylie in the morning all.
This is Dave, and I'm looking to fall with my nose in the butter.
This is Mappy. Great to be back at the 732 meetup in the morning.
This is Dave Alcott. As a New York baseball fan, I am saddened but still woke in the morning.
Still woke. This is not quite Sir Joseph, who has yet to give you your final 333.33 donation. I have made two so far, and I'm contemplating it. If I get some money next month, maybe I will be a knight.
In the morning!
A nice group there in Jersey, always nice in Jersey. Couple of meetups taking, actually the Myrtle Beach Meet Freely Before the Election meetup is underway at Myrtle Beach, Florida. You might be able to get there still. Swiggin' Swine is the venue. On Tuesday, Election Day, the Dallas-Fort Worth Mid-Cities Election Watch Party, 6:30 at Niederwerks World HQ in Bedford, Texas. So Nerdworks hosting that for you. Then our next show day, if the grid is still up on Thursday, November 7th, the Northern Wake Public Slave Gathering, 6 o'clock at Hoppy Endings in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Central Colorado Election Hangover Meetup, 6:30 at O'Malley's Pub, Palmer Lake, Colorado, also on Thursday. And the Cincinnati Election Digestion Meetup, 7 o'clock. That's in Bramble Patch, Cincinnati, Ohio. It's Muppet Head's, I don't know if Muppet Head has rented the old place or if, is that Muppet Head's place? You have to RSVP for that one. There are many more meetups on this list all the way through January, all around the world. It's really something you need to try out at least once, because I guarantee you'll go back for more. Connection is protection at the No Agenda Meetups. Go to noagendameetups.com. You can't find a meetup near you. Start one yourself. It's easy.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell to aim.
What is that noise you make? What is that thing?
This?
Yeah, that. Yes. Yes, that thing.
It's a thunder and lightning box.
It's a box?
It's hard to describe. But it's got a long spring that's on the back of it, and it's got like a drum head, which you could punch, and you can do this if you wanted to pull on this on the spring, and when you shake, when it bangs against stuff, it makes a thundering sound.
Can you make a horse clippity clop sound with it?
There, no, of course not. There's a small version of it somewhere around here.
Uh huh. Careful now. Don't hurt yourself.
This is the bit.
Timber, hey, do I see that you do not have an end of show ISO?
I do not. I've decided I'm quitting winning. I'm winning, and I have to say no. Stop it.
Okay.
Let Adam win for once.
Well, I only have one. So
how come this happens every time I do none? You have five when I have four. You have six when I have three. And I have none, you have none. Because it doesn't make sense to me.
Because I didn't get your clips due to climate change.
We'll play yours and see what it is.
Yeah.
Come on. I got a laugh out of
it. It's perfect.
Yeah. All right, everybody. It's time for everyone's favorite moment is John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD. And sometimes Adam.
I had to choose between a couple of things here, but I want to get this one out of the way. I'll do the drink that everyone's wanting.
The egg drink. Yes, everyone's excited. I got an email. I need this drink. Everybody wants to know what. So first of all, we've learned that because you are in excellent health. I mean, I haven't known you sick a day. You had a cough.
Well, I don't get sick. That's
you,
for
you
sure.
You had a cough for like 2 months. It was a creepy cough.
I had a cough for a while. That's about it.
That one
was probably my COVID moment.
It was pre-COVID. I don't think it was. I think it was way before COVID.
No, I think I'm the one who, it was COVID.
No, you are the super spreader. But besides that, not using a GPS, I think, keeps you very alert, spry, and you have a great memory.
Spry, that's it. Thanks.
What do you mean? Come on, man. I'm 60. Come on, man. I'm over 60. I get to say these things. But you eat well, and you lifted a little tip of the veil on the last show, and you said, "Oh yeah, I take a raw egg before every show," and I thought you just like Tom Cruise in it, slamming it into the glass and gulping it down. But no, there's a concoction, and everybody wants to try it.
Okay, we'll go with the concoction on this show, even though I wasn't planning on it.
Glad you decided to do it.
This is a drink. I drink this on show days only, and the egg is optional.
Oh, no. The egg is not optional.
Well, if you can't get a good, safe egg, you might.
You've got to have a safe egg. Please get a safe
egg.
You
need a safe egg.
What is a safe egg?
That means a yard egg or Araucana, certain chickens can't. You don't want to get an egg that's laced with salmonella, which would be a commercial egg.
Can you tell if an egg has salmonella? Is there a way to see that? Can you hold it up against the
light? No, because it's now, over the years, they don't like talking about it, but these egg producers have not only got, it used to be on the shell, you get salmonella, but now it's gotten inside the egg somehow. I don't know what the problem is.
So what you want is you want an egg from the chicken, from your friend.
You want an egg from one of these guys that sells egg by the roadside.
Or
that's what you want.
One of those guys. We just have Jill the farmer. Jill gives us
I'm
eggs.
Sure she's got great eggs. Yeah, and you use those. Okay, so here's what it is. It's just
can I ask you a question? When you have the egg from Jill the farmer, do I need to wash the egg? But can I just crack it and go?
You just crack it and go.
All right, cool.
How dirty is the egg if it's covered with mud?
Well, everyone says like
chicken shit, maybe.
Well, the eggs have not been washed, and I guess the idea is you don't wash them until you want to use them. Then you wash them. I'm a little confused by that.
The reason you don't want to wash eggs is fresh eggs, even though you'll find plenty of commercial operations, the eggs are some slightly washed, is there's a kind of a coating on the egg
that keeps them.
That if you wash the egg, then they can go bad. Because the shells are not, they're pervious. You can get, things can go through the shell.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So thank you. I appreciate that. I have another question. Is this recipe in the book available at TooManyEggs.com?
No.
So this is an eggs plus tip.
This is a plus tip.
Plus tip. Okay.
It's just a milkshake. And here's what I use. Here's how it works. First of all, the night before, I pull two.
Oh, there's prep. There's prep involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
I pull two espresso shots into a small glass and put it in the freezer.
In the freezer? Okay.
Yeah, so I can have, so it's like a chunk in there, a chunk of ice, ice coffee. And then I bring it out in the morning, let it thaw a little bit and dump it in. So I take 8 ounces of milk in a blender, 8 ounces of milk. Added to that, I put a tablespoon of bee pollen, heaping tablespoon of bee pollen, a heaping tablespoon of chia seeds, those little, that's for the thickening.
Mm-hmm.
Then the double shots of cappuccino, or not cappuccino, but espresso, two shots of espresso, 6 drops of Biosil.
Biosil? What is Biosil?
Biosil is this Japanese invented product that helps you create, it helps your body use cellulite. It's the connective tissue that they you can buy pills for now.
So Biosil.
Yeah, Biosil.
Biosil.
Okay. Look it up. It's on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for collagen. It's mm-hmm. a collagen producer. If you take collagen supplements, especially the new collagens, which are now actually accessible by the body, it's for your skin. And so I got 6 drops of that.
Have good skin too. I should have mentioned that.
I don't know about that, but I don't take care of my skin like you do. And so
moisturize, baby, moisturize.
Okay, so we were up to the Biosil. We had the key. Okay, then the key ingredient and an egg. Drop an egg in there if you want. And then the key ingredient is something I rediscovered about a year ago, which really kind of was funny. I saw this for sale at the grocery outlet. Carnation Breakfast Essentials Chocolate.
Ah, there's your secret ingredient. That makes it drinkable.
Yeah, exactly. Although I one time left it out and it still was pretty good. It just wasn't very sweet. But yes, this used to be, when I was a kid, I used to ingest this stuff.
I remember Carnation, sure.
Carnation used to be called Instant Breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it was around the time of the so-called mission to the moon, like with Tang.
Tang was also popular, but this mm-hmm. Instant Breakfast is now, they changed it for some reason, some marketing reason, to Breakfast Essentials. So you put that in there and you got that big frozen chunk of coffee. So then you get maximum grind it up in the blender and then set.
Is it on, do you on frap on the blender or blend?
It depends on your blender, but you want to blast it good.
You want to blast it good, baby.
And so you blend it up and then you wait five. Yeah, then you have to do the waiting thing because it's these chia seeds.
Chia. So are they chia or chia?
Chia.
Chia.
Chia. Chia. And so those get softened up and then you give it a second round and that's when it thickens up and you get a big rich milkshake. And that's what I had before the show.
For our European producers, can they use Ovaltine or something if they can't get the Carnation Instant Breakfast?
I'm just telling you what you can do anything you want. My wife keeps saying, why don't you put brewer's yeast in it? Women.
Yeah.
Women and brewer's yeast. I don't know what the connection is, but they love the brewer's yeast and they want you to use it on everything. So, but I don't use, you could put that in there too. You could put some, if you're one of the ladies out there listening, put some brewer's yeast into this concoction.
This is a very valuable tip. And I appreciate you sharing
this. What's valuable about it?
It's valuable. It's a valuable tip.
It's a witch's brew.
It's a very valuable tip. And Mimi, of course, is in town now. So do you drink 2 of these egg concoctions?
No, I do it twice a week for the show only.
Well, we appreciate what you do for the show.
I like your bacon and eggs.
Thank
and
you for your courage. Other
normal breakfast bangers.
There you go, everybody. That is John's Tip of the Day. Go to tipoftheday.net to learn more on how to do it yourself.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB. And sometimes Adam.
There's your value, everybody.
Value.
Live long and prosper. That's how you should
get
have
that bee pollen in you.
Yeah, and the brewer's yeast. Although we do not recommend it. We recommend Carnation Instant Breakfast. I used to love that back in the day. That's it. We'll be back. Have a great election day, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday. If the grid is still up.
Yeah, it could be down.
That's right. End of show mixes. Leo LePuc is back. Happy to see him with an end of show mix. David Kekta, who's just been on a roll. Professor Jay Jones, nice one, from China. And one of our clip collectors, Steve Jones, brother of Neil, the clip custodian, with a nice They Live mix-up. Up next on No Agenda Stream, if you're still listening at trollroom.io, it is Hog Story, Grandma Nazis. Oh, that's going to be a banger. Guaranteed on that. Again, have a great election day, everybody. Wet fart is coming. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we say, go out and vote often. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll be back on Thursday, God willing. Till then, remember us at noagendadonations.com. Adios, mo, foes, a hooey, hooey, and such.
You gotta get out and vote. You won't have to vote anymore. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been.
This woman has no idea what she's doing.
I want to be a lesbian.
We know what Donald Trump has in mind. More chaos, more division.
I want to be a lesbian.
Elected. Don't worry about that, baby. I love babies.
Elected.
Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of
here. Elected.
Somebody come to my house for a day shot. Probably shouldn't have said that.
These stories, for you to tell these stories, this story is a story that is sadly not the only story.
A new ad from the Trump campaign rolled out this week depicting a montage of all the people the former president says he'll kill if he's elected.
I'm Kamala Harris.
I'm Donald J. Trump. Can I approve this message?
I want to be elected!
Hi, you guys. Hi, Avengers.
Four days out from Election Day, and former President Donald Trump is escalating his violent rhetoric, suggesting one of his most prominent critics, former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, should be fired upon.
It evokes images of an execution. Let's execute.
The facts are on our side.
It evokes images of an execution.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter's a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
Let's execute.
You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building. The facts are on our side.
It evokes an execution.
While all this is going on, Rachel Maddow is still on MSNBC.
Stay woke!
And she rolls out creaky Victoria Nuland.
And, you know, fuck the EU.
Russophobe emeritus.
I think that sounds pretty good.
That Vladimir Putin is doing it again.
How dare you?
We are at war with Russia.
What is with this deep-seated hatred of Russia?
Third election in a row in which Russia has tried to interfere.
Shut up already.
Where's the AI to fix all that, huh?
Just try to get Trump into the White House.
And it seems like Russia is in on it.
A man from the Russians wanted to run our country for the...
Pool boy! She's bringing That's up this good. Old trope.
And get them parroting.
Russia!
Russian scum!
Comes from Russia.
How do you assess the magnitude and the type of interference they're attempting...
Stay woke!
...this year compared to what they've done in his previous two elections?
This is a reality.
It was about Russia.
He's at it again.
How dare you?
This time he's not even trying to hide his... His hand, and he has far more sophisticated tools.
Where's the AI to fix all that, huh?
Shut up already.
This time, we have Elon Musk talking directly to the Kremlin and ensuring...
Russia is in on it.
Tantamount to treason.
It is just sad to see how low she has sunk.
Act of war.
I think that sounds pretty good.
This is not true.
What is with this deep-seated hatred of Russia?
Is she just reading Twitter and going, yeah, talk about this on Rachel's show?
Why does the West hate Russia?
What videos? What videos has Putin done?
Targets inside Russia.
The usurper has no validity.
This is just pathetic.
Russian scum!
Comes from Russia.
Russia! Really, it really is pathetic.
Their intention to rule rests with the annihilation of consciousness. We have been lulled into a trance. 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 Trance.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And kick ass. And kick ass. All out of bubblegum. Bubblegum.
Mouths are full of bitterness and curses. Curses. Curses.
And in their paths, nothing but ruin and misery. 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 Misery.
And the fear of God is not before their eyes.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. Leaders.
They have recruited the rich and the powerful. And they have blinded us to the truth. 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 Truth.
Our human spirit is corrupted. Corrupted.
Why do we worship
beasts? Beasts.
Beasts.
Outside
the limit of our sight. See it. They're all about you. They're all about you. They're all around you. They're all around you. All around you.
I got one that can see.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Yeah.